You made it. Welcome to where you're going.
We can talk about
it. Done talking. Time to listen.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Wakey, wakey. Eggs and gravy.
Thought it was eggs and bakey.
Bakey? What the hell is bakey?
Like bacon? What the hell is eggs and gravy, huh?
Stop it! Shut the hell up when I'm grilling you! This ain't no goddamn cooking show!
Guys, this is weed.
Yeah, we know.
Or grass, I think you folks called it
in the day. Yeah.
Okay, this is Hindu Kush, okay? And it will really open you up. The last time I smoked this, I came up with the term squeakquel.
And now...
Seriously, play Big Booty Bitches. Do it. You know you want to. Do it. Please.
I got big booty bitches, big booty bitches. I got big booty bitches.
Our feature presentation.
I miss that song.
Right? A classic that has been forgotten.
Oh. We're so bad at keeping that stuff alive.
Big Booty Bitches. Right? Allie, where were you the first time you heard Big Booty Bitches?
Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was driving down the 405.
Right.
That's it.
And you thought, wow.
Wow.
Music has now peaked.
Boy, do they respect the ladies.
Where can we go with it now? I've just heard the best song I'll ever hear for the whole rest of my life.
Right, right.
So now everything, the ensuing 50 years are just going to be a disappointment because nothing will live up to Big Booty Bitches. But I want to thank the listener who called in and requested. Well done.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 5th of April.
The ball is
for you, Kevin.
You're running for your life.
You know, we didn't talk about it leading up to the college basketball championship game that happened last night. But usually every year we get into the discussion of why you're the only person in the world who hates One Shining
First
Moment.
First of all, I'm not.
Late, great Luther Vandross. Yes, you are.
You are not.
Thank you.
Close.
But.
Oh, hold on. Here's my part. All right, go ahead.
Who is going ahead? Allie, you were saying something, I think.
No, well, I just said you are not the only one that, that hates it, but your cartoon hate is kind of what I love.
It's built.
Yeah.
Through the years, it's built because every single year, it's crazy
tradition.
To me.
Tradition.
Yeah. It's crazy to me.
But it would be like you coming out today and saying, you know what? Those hats at the Kentucky Derby are stupid. They should stop it.
Right?
And by the way,
I'm down with that.
They are stupid, but that's part of the Kentucky Derby experience.
Well,
that's
they should
part
stop
of,
it.
But the point is, it's a tradition because they've been doing it that way forever. It's the same thing with One Shining Moment. Believe me, these players want to go home and turn on the TV and see the montage to One Shining Moment.
Absolutely.
Look, here's the thing.
Because they want to be a part of history. They want to do the same thing that Michael Jordan did when he was in college.
I just want to clarify this. Mm-hmm. I love, love, love the sports montage.
Right.
That, to me, is the height. Those are the best.
Right.
But then when you pick the I Just Called to Say I Love You BS love song written by Luther Vandross, that
okay,
is just so sucky.
I will not take you disparaging that man.
First of all, I'm with you. Second of all, he didn't write it.
Exactly.
Third of all,
I don't care
about
either of those things.
Well, you're
it's
the
a
one
terrible
who said
song.
It. You don't care about the stuff
it's
you
a
just
terrible
said.
Song.
It's not a terrible song. And by the way, I do have something that you can now carry around for the rest of your life that's going to make you happy. It was the last song Luther Vandross ever recorded before he had a stroke and then died. So
well, that
you
doesn't
can say,
make me happy.
Yeah.
You should feel that he got what he deserved, though, based on your hatred for that song.
I'm just saying, pick a song that makes sense for the sport and for everything else.
How does One Shining Moment not make sense?
Two things. One is, it really is just a light rock love song. Okay, so it's a sports montage, and they're doing a light rock love song.
You know that it was written for this reason.
That's the other thing. It was written for this reason. It's so on the nose, the ball is up, and they show the ball. And there you are, and they show a guy. And you're shooting for the star, and they show a guy shooting. Come on!
Love
it sounds,
it sounds
to me like you're
like
saying
you
it's perfect.
Love
no,
it.
It's not perfect. It's too on the nose.
It sounds like everything you just said, you
worst.
Love.
It's terrible.
Oh, you love it so much.
So bad.
They tried to replace it with a Jennifer Hudson version about 5 years ago, and the
was everybody outraged?
The nation was outraged. Yes, the CBS received so many complaints that they immediately switched back to Luther. And
you hear last night they ran Neo's version?
They were running that in some of the games on Saturday too.
Yeah, I didn't hear it. I stuck with TBS with my Luther.
Right. And yeah, Luther's the way to go.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I tuned right away from that channel so that I didn't have to watch
wrong.
It. Yeah. Can I make a suggestion?
Sure. Yes, please.
Well, it is
right.
Yeah,
you see the cheerleader crying, high five, and everybody in the stand. The parents getting all emotional, right?
Right.
Who's with
you
me?
Got a point.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now I didn't. I'm embarrassed to say now, but I did not watch the game last night. And I usually do, but you know what it was? Look. I don't have any connection to either of these schools, mm-hmm. and I never fell in love with either of these schools along the journey this year. Usually, like if Syracuse had been in, I would have watched it because I've been following that journey and I've loved it. But I didn't care who won, and I didn't care about any of these particular players. There
right.
wasn't anybody, so I didn't watch the game. And then I woke up this morning, I felt like an asshole because apparently I missed it.
Yeah,
and it was awesome.
You don't have to care about either team when it's a game like that. That is just unbelievable, maybe one of the best.
And the fact that the kid that hit the game-winning shot was adopted by a guy and his family on the team he was playing for the national championship. Those are essentially two brothers playing against each other.
Yeah.
That's not a story you're into?
No.
What about redemption for Piccolo Girl?
Was Piccolo Girl there last night?
I don't even know what that means.
The Villanova crying Piccolo Girl from last year?
Piccolo Girl.
Oh, she was all one shining moment. Oh, it was the saddest time.
That
Piccolo Girl.
That Chris Jenkins story is awesome. So he was 10 when he was adopted by, as Ali said, a family that has a North Carolina player in the game last night. And it was the first time either of them had ever gone to the championship, first time they ever played against each other. Is that right, too? Or no?
I think they had grown up playing either on the same team or against each other on different teams.
Right.
But
well,
unbelievable.
When he hit that shot, he just turned and flipped him right off.
No, he didn't do that.
Right here.
It was an unbelievable game with two lead changes in the last 5 seconds. And I thought it would be fun because I always love when Deadspin does this. I thought it would be fun to hear some of the calls so you could see the different way that the end of the game was called.
Oh,
and
all right.
Oh, by the different schools.
Right. With less than a second left, Chris Jenkins throws an unbelievable, like, ice water in his veins three to win the game. Here's what it sounded like on the winning school's radio home in Villanova.
4.7 seconds to go. Inbound to Ryan Archidiacono at half court with 3 seconds. Ryan Archidiacono flips to Jenkins. Three for the win. It's good! It's good! Jenkins! It's the three to win the national championship for the first time in 31 years. You can call the Cats champions on the Jenkins three.
By the way, those are streamers falling down from the sky. It wasn't gunshots breaking out.
was Villanova's?
That was Villanova's, yes.
I feel like he should have been more excited.
How could he have been?
I don't know. Have you seen Charles Barkley's reaction? He was more excited than this dude.
All right. I love the Villanova NC buzzer beater call on North Carolina radio, and I think this is an interesting choice that the play-by-play announcer made as the game ended.
Into Ryan Archidiacono, he'll come front court. Works for Jenkins, a three at the horn. Oh,
by the way, I think those are also the same streamers. It just sounds different from where they're sitting. But listen, he never says another word. I think he just unplugged his headphones and went home.
He did the right thing.
That's where my clip
ends.
He never said. And you know what? Maybe that's one of those instances where there's nothing you can say. If you're a North Carolina fan, you just have to just sit there and just let it soak in and just watch it.
I guess. But don't you feel like the play-by-play guy would want to feel like he has to say something? But nope.
I think a lot of play-by-play guys do, and it's a mistake. I think sometimes you just let the moment play out. Win or lose, by the way.
This one shining moment.
Right? This is the call on Spanish radio. I don't know if this was ESPN Deportes or what, but here's how it said it if you're curious.
Bueno, última posesión para ganar un título. Archidiacono, sigue Archidiacono, se la va a jugar Jenkins.
¡Sí!
¡Ha ganado Villanova! ¡Ha ganado Villanova!
I was very disappointed nobody yelled goal, by the way. And one more. This is, and I don't know why they would have a Russian language broadcast of an American college basketball championship game.
Are you being punked?
No.
Да, ну поехали. 5 секунд на решение судьбы. Райан Арчидиакона. Хороший заслон.
Разгоняется.
Крис Дженкинс на победу. Приносит Виланове победу в чемпионате. Фантастика! Какая концовка у национального финала!
Apparently, Fantastica is works in all languages.
How about
I guess.
That?
So anyway, that's
it's funny. That one guy was yelling, and the other guy was just talking normally at the same time.
Yeah. The weirdest color commentary ever.
Anyway, it was pretty cool, and I'm a bad man for missing it. But congratulations to Villanova. And I'm sure Ralph will be very excited. That's Philadelphia school, right?
Oh yeah, it's his John.
So, yep. There you go. It is his John.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Kevin, I had no idea you were such a good liar.
Oh, that's hurtful. Remember yesterday at this time when Bean started talking about the robot that was being invented, and he was very, very excited about it. We've got more details on that today.
Sweet. Can I order one yet?
Bean is looking for a sex partner, so just know that. Kobe is playing his last game against the Clippers tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, the King of Mexico, is sort of in a pickle in that a lot of people, when Kobe shows up, they applaud because of his career.
Right.
Dave, no, not going to have it.
Yeah, I don't get this.
Not going to do it.
I'm a Clipper very fan, concerned.
He hopes
Dave.
Everybody boos, and that's his thing. So we'll talk about that today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We also have Ask a Sleep Expert. Alana Sherrill will be here, and you can ask a sleep expert if you're having problems staying asleep. By the way, my alarm clock went off at 12:30.
Why?
Don't know. Wasn't
okay.
set. And all then right. it went off again.
Well, I think it was set.
It was set.
No, I'm
yeah.
saying it
yeah.
wasn't set for that time. It was only set for 3:50, which is
okay.
what I... So 12:30, the music starts playing. I'm like, what's... I start getting up. I'm like, what's happening? So I reach over and turn it off, and then I go back to bed.
Uh-huh.
1:45, it goes off again. I swear to you. And you can see on the face of the clock which okay. ones are set and which aren't. There's only one alarm set, and that's 3:50.
Huh.
So I wonder if she can help me with that.
Yeah, I'm sure she can.
I'll
ask her.
Who doubts Kevin's read of this situation?
I think most people.
Really?
With any idea of how alarms work?
Look, I know how alarms work.
Uh-huh. Why would that happen?
Has that ever happened before? Well.
Has that ever happened before?
Not technically. Well, I don't know, because sometimes...
What kind of answer is that?
No, sometimes, because I use an iPod, uh-huh. sometimes the iPod will just start playing music.
I think there's interference, maybe,
it's
between
possible.
The two.
It's possible.
Kevin, I had no idea you were such a good liar.
Glad we could work that back in so quickly. What's up with Florida on today's show?
And what is up with Florida?
Oh.
And Tyler Labine will be in the studio with us. He's in Deadbeat and also the new movie, The Boss. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
I don't very often have work dreams. You guys, does that happen sometimes where you... Imagine you're in the studio doing a show and something goes horribly wrong.
I only have work nightmares. I don't have work dreams.
No, he's talking about actual dreams.
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant the waking living nightmare that I spend every day.
But last night, it was the weirdest thing. I know Kevin has said a lot of crazy things over the years, but last night in my dream, he said these words, "What's a doorstop?"
And it
woke me up like with a start, like I've been shocked.
Even your dreams are ridiculous.
That's stupid. I know, but it would say that. Yeah.
Who doesn't know what a doorstop is?
Right? Right. It's right there.
It's the second thing man invented after fire. He put something in front of a door to keep it from closing.
In the
second
cave?
Invention. Yes. Yeah, the cave door.
Even before he invented the door, though?
Before the door. He said, I'm going to build something to close up this hole, but first, I'm going to build something that's going to keep it open because I don't want to get trapped in my cave.
Okay.
Smart.
Well, it was very shocking, and I woke up in a cold sweat because I thought, no human could ever say that as an adult. Right?
What's a doorstop?
So that's what happened there. All right, it's 5:53. Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning.
What's a letter opener? Thing we use to open letters.
It's dumb.
Stupid.
How dare you.
So, One Shining Moment is a light rock love song.
Yeah.
But it really isn't, because it was written specifically for this event, right?
Yes.
So it's not like they took something off of Luther's last album and just slapped it into the sporting event.
The style of the music is a light rock love song. That's true. That's the style of that song.
No, it's a ballad. It's a ballad, but it doesn't make it a love song.
Don't get me started. It's the worst.
You already started. I'm trying to finish
this.
It's
the worst.
It's not the worst at all.
It
fits perfectly for a sports montage.
Mm, almost like it was written for
yeah.
it. Oh, wait, it was. Kevin, just like it.
I can't just like it.
That would really help. Just do that.
It was a song written for the Final Four, specifically with people that are 65 years and older and are women in mind. That's my problem.
Ew.
The love song, love
so you're
ballad.
A sexist is what you're saying.
I guess. I don't know. I hope not. I don't want to be that. All right, back to you, Rob.
Why is it for old people? Because it's supposed to be emotionally
it's
charged,
just,
whereas that moment should be for those kids. I mean, that's the kind of the point, I think, of the whole thing.
Yeah, it sucks.
You're too thug life. That's what it is.
That's the problem. Thank you, Ralph.
Yeah, you're too street.
It is like a show is soft side.
Come on. One shot a moment. You throw up the ball. You throw it in. Then you'll kill them all. Kevin would just full-blown gangster rap.
Thank you, Ralph, for understanding.
I don't understand.
I appreciate it.
Don't misunderstand
my
understanding.
Side.
I'm not taking your side.
Appreciate your support.
I am always, as always, baffled.
Right. Bye, bye, goodness.
Let's talk about show business news. Justin Bieber, creating controversy yet again. This time it's his luscious blonde mane of hair that he's now wearing as dreadlocks. Some people are not happy with his blonde dreadlocks. They say he's appropriating African American culture.
Now, what do you think about this, Ralph? Because this has we've seen stories like this. It happened with Miley last year too. Increasingly, people are saying that a hairstyle can only be worn by one race. Do you agree with that?
No,
I kind of don't either.
It's just hair.
I don't think Justin Bieber, look, I'm not defending Bieber. He looks ridiculous.
Yeah, he should be slapped down because he looks like an idiot.
Yeah, he looks like an idiot. Right. But it's not like he's running around telling everybody he was born in Africa or anything. He's just wearing a hairstyle. That's all he's doing.
See, Bean, that's where you're wrong. He's now the president of the Spokane, Washington NAACP.
I did not realize that.
That's true. He says he was
so actually, he identifies as black. That's what you're saying.
His race gender is changed. That's a thing. Here's the thing about dreads, which is if it is a natural byproduct of you choosing not to do anything with your hair and they sort of naturally form. Mm-hmm.
Like so it's lazy?
If you're like Rastafarian or something,
right.
Not lazy, but you just go with it because it's your hair is of a type that it's just a pain in the ass to try to do anything else with it.
And you're on the road with fish.
Right. And that's kind of sort of a natural byproduct of your life. That's kind of cool. If you're putting in faux dreadlocks into your hair, then you're just a poser of biblical proportions.
Yeah. Yep, that's true.
Look at you, Counting
He's
Crows
the best.
Guy. That guy. What was his name, remember?
Adam
Duritz.
Yeah, Duritz. I think his hair, not only were they fake, I think they were like extensions. It was like extension dreadlocks. He had just had full-on dreadlocks just like pasted into his head.
And he dated Jennifer Aniston for a while, remember?
Well,
and Courtney Cox. Like, he dated everyone.
That's my look.
And
my
David
point.
Schwimmer for a while,
right.
too.
And Chandler Bing.
Right.
I'm sure he has a real name.
Matthew Perry, I think is his real name. But if you're... That's how much of a douchebag was. Jennifer Aniston dated him, right? She's evil. So, it all comes together.
Is that what we're saying?
That's what we're saying.
I didn't realize that.
Speaking of evil love... Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna still moving forward at warp speed. The two are deeply in love, according to friends and family. And Rob just got the thumbs up from Chyna Black's mother, Tokyo Toni. What the hell's going on?
What is happening?
How is this family? Why are they all named after Street Fighter characters? What's happening? Yes, Tokyo Toni says that their new fiancé for Blac Chyna is better than Tyga. Fight! What the hell's going on?
What is going on?
Tokyo Toni. Who, by the way, looks like she's going to get her own reality show, by the way. Tokyo Toni.
That's her mom?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I'm just trying to follow along.
This is the end times. Kevin's worried about a perfectly nice song. They play for some nice gentleman who just won a thing.
Ugh. Yeah.
Cartoon Philly, hate.
Philly
Ali called
in the
it.
House. Philly in the house, yo.
Right?
That was my John last night. Boom.
You went to what college, Ruff?
I went to LaSalle University.
And what's the relationship, if any, between LaSalle and Villanova? Were you guys in this same conference or anything?
We were in what they is known as the Big Five in Philadelphia basketball. We were rivals.
Rivals, okay.
There were five major basketball programs in Philadelphia. It was Temple University, Villanova University, LaSalle University, St. Joe's, and Drexel. Those were the big five. And
are you able to be happy for Villanova this morning?
I am okay. Able, because I had tons of friends who went to Nova. I had no problem really with that organization.
It's been 30 years, I think.
Yeah.
Since one.
So look, you can't, as a Philadelphian, you cannot be picky where you get your championships from, okay?
Because they are few and far between.
You get one in the region, you just claim it as your own and embrace it and say congratulations to all. Today's celebrity birthdays. Haley Atwell.
Ooh. Mm.
Haley Atwell.
Remember that show she used to be on? It was
Shut
so
up.
Good.
It's not canceled yet. I will kill you.
Okay.
Back in Ralph on this one.
Haley Atwell is 34 years old today and just a big pile of diamonds wrapped in skin.
Right. Are you
Agent
following
Carter, for folks who don't know, by the way.
Your friend Maren Dungey on Instagram, posting pictures together in Toronto and New York.
The new pilot they've been working on together.
Delightful.
You have to go and ruin a perfectly good thing I have for Haley Atwell now. Just tell me she's from Maine while you're at it.
I don't believe she is.
Delightful. That was a little freaky.
Pharrell Williams is 43 years old today. Mike McCready, Pearl Jam guitarist, is 50. Christopher Reed, better known as Kid of Kid Play, 52 years old. And wrestling and yoga legend Diamond Dallas Page is 60. You familiar with Diamond Dallas Page? He's a big yoga.
Yeah,
we've had him on. We've had him on to talk about it. Yeah.
He's all about yoga. He loves himself some yoga. And some doorstops, oddly enough. I don't know how that works out. He is 60 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the show his beat.
Do we just wait?
Mm-hmm.
Hey!
That's not a hey song.
It's the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:08.
So much great stuff to give away on the program today, by the way, including K-Rock Day at Santa Anita coming up. Ralph will have tickets for that later. We also got more tickets for the K-Rock Guys Night Out at the Bike. That's on the way. Star Wars Blu-rays for you today. Tickets to The Offspring. A lot of good stuff coming up here on K-Rock. But first, how about a little feature we like to call What's Up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news.
It's not just the Sunshine State, it is also America's Wang, and the craziest things happen in Florida. I'm not sure I would admit to somebody if I were from Florida at this point. I just think it would just invite too many questions about why my state is so crazy, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they know it's crazy because they're living in it, but...
No, but I'm saying if I was from Florida, and then I moved out here, I would never tell anybody I was from Florida. It would be like tell about done time, you know what I mean? They would automatically look down at me. And let's find out why Avery Davis is in the news. He lives in Riviera Beach. He is 26 years old. And he apparently shoplifted some hair care products, and the police chased him down into the 1500 block of West 29th Street in Riviera Beach. And it says here they stunned him. Now, I don't know. Is there something that the police are using that's not quite a tase, but is some sort of a stun?
They have a stun gun.
Okay. Yeah. So he gets knocked down. He's, by the way, running away with the stolen merchandise and his pit bull on a leash when they stun him.
Did he get up again?
He did get up again, as a matter of fact. Yes. Then he had a whiskey drink. No, he got up.
F both of you.
And started running again from the police. And that's when Mr. Davis had a brilliant idea. Hey, I've got a pit bull on a leash. The pit bull's my friend. I'm going to use him to get away from the man. Oh. So he drops the leash and he says to the dog, kill him, boy. Kill him.
Wow.
What do you think the dog does next?
Probably slobbered all over the cop.
Bites his owner in the ass and knocks him to the ground. The dog takes him down.
The dog knew.
The dog bites his owner in the butt and then tries to bite his head before the police pulled him away from his own dog attacking him.
Wow.
that's when you've got to reevaluate your life and go, if I can't count on my dog, who can I count
that
on?
Didn't go well.
That's awesome.
No, that is
imagine
not what
his
he was
surprise.
Telling. Yep. So he has been arrested on 2 counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer, 1 count of resisting an officer with violence, and, of course, the original shoplifting charter. So well done, Mr. Davis. Now we go to this domestic violence case. This is Victoria Reed, who's in prison today. According to a report written by the Brevard County Sheriff's Office, she had a gun and confronted her husband of 16 years after she found out that he was having an affair. She demanded that her husband sit on the couch, and she told him she was going to maim him and give him post-traumatic stress disorder, which she said she also suffers from. So she had a 1-2 plan. A, I'm going to shoot you and it's going to hurt. B, I'm going to make sure you're miserable for the rest of your life because you're going to be so frightened of this moment. So she means business right here. She taunted her husband. She threatened to shoot him in the face and in the chest, but then ultimately decided to shoot him in his left knee. By the way, this reminds me very much of what happened to poor Carol on The Walking Dead the other night. So she says, I'm going to shoot you in the knee, and she does, but the bullet travels up his thigh and lodges in his testicles. I want you to think about the trajectory of that bullet and how surprised both of them must have been.
No matter how bad the knee hurt.
Yes.
No way he could have seen that coming.
The bullet lodged in his testicles. He is going to survive, by the way. She, as I mentioned, is in jail. I don't predict good things for this marriage, but I hope there is some sort of update down the road and we find out that they patched it up after she got out
of jail.
Sure. I would like to see, romantic. I would like to see that. Well, they've been together for 16 years, Kevin. You just don't throw away that kind of love,
she
right?
shot me in the ball. We're together today.
They're going to have a hilarious story to tell at parties. Here's Richard Addy of Palm City, Florida. He was arrested one night last week after a night of drinking with his wife. Police captain on the scene, Brian Bozio, says, I've been doing this job for over 20 years. I've never seen anything like it. Apparently, this man, who's 69 years old, by the way, told the officer that he and his wife had gotten into a spat after drinking at a couple of bars, and he decided to leave without her. According to him, it wasn't until he was stopped at a traffic light that he heard banging on the top of his Toyota and realized she was on top of his car.
What? The whole way?
Yes. So he thought, I'm going to leave her behind. He takes off, doesn't know she's on the car until she starts banging on the top of the thing. He did not, at that point at the intersection, get out and help her down. He continued to drive.
He floored it.
He's swerving left, swerving right, slamming on the brakes.
He drove for 6 miles with his wife screaming on the top of the car until he was pulled over by a police officer who witnessed it. And he was arrested on charges of reckless driving and cited for allowing a passenger to ride outside of the vehicle. By the way, the arresting officer also noted there was a strong odor of alcohol on his breath.
So imagine that cop looking at that going, look, I know that it looks to me like there's a woman on top of that car, but is it possible?
And he was thinking, what do I have to do to get away from this lady? Authorities in Florida have arrested a man named Nicholas Jackson, 36 years old. Last Friday, he showed up at a Pompano Beach auto dealership and tried to buy a new BMW, a $60,000 car, with his EBT card. Now, this is food stamps, kids. This is the card that you get from the state if you're low income so that you can go and buy groceries. He shows up at the BMW dealership and says, I want to buy this new car on my EBT card. And they explained to him that maybe it didn't work like that, and he didn't have enough money to buy the car. So he returned the next night and stole the car. Deputies say they later found Mr. Jackson with the car and the keys that he had stolen from the dealership because he ran out of gas. He did not have money to fill up the tank. So, again, he did not think his plan through very
well. That guy should keep doing what he's doing.
And finally, I want to thank all the Kevin and Me listeners when this story broke a couple of weeks ago who sent the story to me. It really is the quintessential What's Up with Florida story. Jamie Gilt is her name. She is a Florida pro-gun activist, all right? She has bragged repeatedly on her Facebook page about how even my 4-year-old son gets jacked up to target shoot with a .22. Well, I think you can tell where this story is headed. She was accidentally shot and wounded by her 4-year-old son and is facing misdemeanor charges for allowing a minor access to a firearm.
Was it accidentally?
Well, that's a great question, Kevin. Apparently, she was driving along and somehow the firearm that was in her car slid behind the driver's seat. The kid was sitting in the back seat, so he picked up the gun. It was an unholstered gun that was loaded. He picked it up and fired it because he's four, and he sees a gun, and he goes, this is fun. And he shoots and injures his mom. Now, fortunately, there was no accident. His mom is going to be okay. But here she is, a Florida pro-gun activist who does nothing but brag about how her kids love to shoot guns, and she ends up getting shot by a gun while she's driving down the street.
She was right. They love to shoot guns.
They do love to shoot guns, and she definitely has proven that. So anyway, authorities are still investigating, but as I mentioned, she has been charged for allowing the gun to be accessed at all by her kid. So well done, Jamie Guild. I think you certainly have made your point. Little kids should be around lots of guns. And this has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
I've got a question for you, Monkey. Why do you try to make everything creepy?
I don't.
You do.
Yeah, I think that's you, Bean.
I am over here walking on a path with the Lord.
Right.
And you guys are trying to take completely innocent things and turn them into sexy time.
Okay, is it only me, Bean, or does everybody else here seem to have the same reaction to you?
I think there's some misunderstanding going on
okay.
here. I brought up a towering technological achievement on the program yesterday. A guy who really impressed me, a 42-year-old man named Ricky Ma, who grew up loving robots, watched robots on TV and loved robots. And then he got to a point in his life where he said, I'm going to teach myself how to build a robot. And he, over the course of 2 years, spent $50,000 to build a robot. He didn't know how to do anything. He taught himself everything in terms of the technology involved in it and the electronics. And he got himself a 3D printer. He printed it out and he figured out how to make skin. And he ended up with a robot that is functional, that has facial movements, that can walk, that can talk to him. I think that's remarkable.
And that looks like...
I mean, yeah, he did make it so it looked like Scarlett Johansson. Yeah.
Oh.
But,
oh.
Wait, hold on a sec.
Yeah.
It's not a sex robot. He's not having sex with the robot. He didn't build it to have sex
with. Wouldn't it have been just easier just to get a girlfriend at some point?
It's a completely different thing. He wanted to build a robot, and it had to look like somebody because he wanted to make it look like a human. So why not choose somebody who's pretty? If you're going to spend all that time with it, why not have the person be pretty?
Describe functional.
I told you, it walks and it talks.
Right. Is that it?
That's it. It doesn't have realistic working parts that I know of. All right. We asked Dave if we could find out more about this because I'm going to prove to you that Mr. Ma, who, by the way, joins us on the phone from Hong Kong right now, is just a creative inventor and there's no ulterior motives here like you guys are kind of suggesting. Mr. Ma, welcome to the Kevin Beach Show, sir. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, congratulations on your achievement of this this robot that you call the Mark One. It is really, really cool.
Oh, I appreciate that so much that you like. It's important experience for me to have and greatest achievement of my life.
And I was telling the guys that you didn't have any kind of experience. It's not like you're an engineer or anything like that. I mean, you just taught yourself how to do all the things that you needed to build a robot.
Yeah, I had no background before when I built this thing. And it was all self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really desperate to have sex.
Wait, what?
Oh, I am really desperate to have sex, so I made myself Scarlett Johansson to bone.
I was saying the exact opposite. I didn't think
you're wrong.
I didn't think it had anything to do with that at all.
Well, why would I build a robot Scarlett Johansson if I did not want to bone her?
Exactly.
Because I thought the point wasn't that it was Scarlett Johansson. It was that it was a working robot.
That's dumb. Why wouldn't I make like a robot then who could like lift heavy things and be like an exoskeleton fighting machine or something? Why would I make one look like Scarlett Johansson if I don't want to bone her?
I didn't realize that's what was happening. I just thought you picked Scarlett Johansson because she's pretty and it'd be fun to have around the house because, you know, you'd rather look at her than Morgan Freeman. But I didn't think it was anything more than that.
Why? You're so dumb.
Weird pull, Bean.
First of all, why would I have Morgan Freeman in my house?
No, but I'm just saying you could have made the robot look like anybody.
I want to have robot Morgan Freeman in my house. He's just sitting around saying, now it's time to get your coffee. Why would I want to have that done?
You do great impressions, Mr. Ma.
Oh, thank you so much.
So,
it's got lifelike silicone skin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she got all big bumpy parts and round parts.
Yeah, she does have bumpy parts.
parts and round parts.
Yeah,
that's
true. Motors and servos and things that can squeeze and hold things.
Right. Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
I mean, like her hands.
Well, sure.
Right.
Wow. And her vagina.
Okay. I didn't know there was a vagina involved.
Oh, why would they? Oh, what? How do you not understand how things work?
That's our point. The fact that you made her look like Scarlett Johansson seems to...
Let me say, I'm going to take $50,000, uh-huh, build a robot look just like Scarlett Johansson, give her big breasts, uh-huh, but not build a vagina in her.
Yeah,
well,
I'd
be
sense.
The worst robot maker ever.
I guess I misunderstood, Mr. Ma.
You're so dumb.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:35.
Hey!
Nope.
We forgot to ask Omar for a jingle, but we do want to debut a brand new segment here called Dave is Bad, and I'm going to let Dave explain why. Welcome to the show, King of Mexico.
Why am I bad?
Because you are bad.
Well, look, I'm bad for many other reasons, but this is just a question.
Hold, please. We do have this.
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
Okay. All right. I like it. That's fine. That's fine. All right, Dave. You embarrassed America yesterday with the conversation that we had off the air. Now it's time to bring it on.
Wait, what?
You did.
I'm confused.
You embarrassed America? You're a disgrace.
I'm so confused.
Sit down.
In a room with five people?
Sit down.
All right, Dave.
What?
Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
20-year career.
Sure.
Final career.
Final career? Yep.
Final season, sorry.
Yep.
Playing the Clippers tonight.
Correct.
And everywhere he goes around the league, people stand up and applaud.
Except Portland and Utah.
Okay, fine. So you're going tonight.
I am. It's his final game against the Clippers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, his final Clipper home game, yeah.
Okay. And how's that going to go?
Well, listen, I had a question. Honestly, it's an honest question, and I've been a basketball fan for a long time. And I've been anti-Kobe for a long time.
Right.
Anti-Lakers, everything, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So tonight, the Clippers are going to do a presentation for Kobe, as all the teams are doing. Now, my question is, do I cheer or do I boo?
You don't have to cheer, but you don't boo.
Why not, though?
Because it's a respect thing. It has to do with what he did for the actual game. You don't have to love him as a person.
You don't have to like him at all.
You don't have to like him at all. You have to respect what he brought to the game of basketball.
Sure.
Shame. So, why would you boo?
Then it sounds to me like that your decision has been made. You
well,
don't
no,
boo
no,
him.
Listen.
You said you've been a basketball fan for
it
a
honestly
long
hasn't.
Time.
But here's my thing, though.
We'll also take a call from the other Clipper fan if you'd like to. 1-800-520.
What Clipper fans are going to do. Because,
1067.
Listen, I'm thinking it's not – the presentation's going to be whatever. Like, I don't know what it's going to be. So,
right.
So I don't know if it's just going to be highlights against like, – and it wasn't – To be honest, it wasn't fair for most of his career. It was dominating on one side. It's a one-sided, you know, rivalry.
Right.
So now
do you want to understand what he's saying?
No.
Like for most of Kobe's career, it was all Lakers.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So now that
I got you.
So that's where I think I want to boo is because it's competitive nature.
Right.
Yeah. So the game's not over till it's like he's not done until this game's over.
Okay.
So when he's over, when the game's over, then maybe I'll cheer for him.
What?
So to say goodbye.
You'll cheer after the game as long as your team wins?
Well, my team's going to win. It's
right,
a given.
Okay.
So that's not a question.
But
man,
what
come
we're
on.
Saying is we're not even asking you during the introductions.
Introductions, I'm booing them because
fine.
That's the introductions. Yeah. Now, during the presentation.
During the game, I doubt you'll probably boo him.
Okay, fine.
I'll boo him the whole way
sure.
through. Yeah.
But then for the presentation, I mean, really, just even if it's somebody you hate, you have to go 20 years. He's accomplished a lot.
So is Vince Carter. So what? Actually, I like Vince Carter.
Did you just compare Kobe, though, to Vince Carter?
He did.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That was a bad comparison.
Dave, I'm confused by many things that you're saying because you don't make any goddamn sense. But when you sat down, you said you're going to the game tonight.
Yeah.
Is it because this is Kobe's last game against the Clippers?
No, it's just because it's a Clipper game.
By the way, Bean, you know my theory has always been that Dave just hates the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So the other option in town is the Clippers?
You know who else hates the Lakers? The Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
And they stood up and cheered for him.
When he was done.
What is wrong with
you? Speaking of which, let's go to Tom in Montebello. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hi, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, I got to go Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at Boston, like Ali McKay said. You know, he was hated there all the time, but when he was retiring, they blew the roof off in respect for him, for his job and his career.
Absolutely.
Wait, they booed the roof off?
No, blew. They blew the
oh,
roof off.
I thought they said they blew the roof off. I was
no.
like,
oh, see, Kareem destroyed the Celtics time and time again. And they respected him, just like the Red Sox did with Derek Jeter. My God, there's not a bigger rivalry in sports than that. And Boston stood up and cheered for him. It's a respect for the game.
Exactly. And Kobe may have had bad times. And yes, Dave, you might have hated it, but give him the respect he earned. He's
Thank
been busting
you,
his butt all this time for the last 20 years for the same team. That's rare. He sort of did it in baseball.
And this just in, you're in his home.
Well yeah. said, Tom.
Boom.
Thank you for the
Boom,
call.
Boom, sucker!
Let's go to Kelly in Westchester, who brings up an excellent point on line two, please.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. So I've been a lifelong Laker fan my entire life.
Right.
And for him just to say that, to boo Kobe after 20 years, after basically building that Staples Center, I just think it's the biggest sign of disrespect. And
Amen.
How Ali said, and how Ali even...
I don't hear from a Laker
one.
Fan.
Boston.
Yeah, the fact that right. I'm like, hey, cheer for him, sucker. You should.
Yeah, exactly.
Respect him.
Exactly. It's and for him to compare him to Vince Carter.
Right, Ali. Like, right there. Tune this dude out.
That
I
want
to
hear from a Clipper fan. I want to hear from a Clipper fan.
They've had one comparison, and that's a dunk contest win. So it's just, that's just a bitter Laker fan.
Kelly, thank you very much for calling. We really appreciate it. Dave, you're a basketball fan.
I am.
How can you not appreciate the Hall of Fame career that Kobe Bryant has had?
Probably because he's a dick.
Okay,
hold on. So let's stipulate. Okay, he is a dick, and that's a 100% given. He's played for 20 years. He's won championships. He's been the MVP.
Yes.
It seems like still that's a guy who you give his respect to that one time. This one time when it's his last game against your team. One last, it just seems like.
Yeah, I'm still on the fence. I'm still on the fence.
What?
You're
on the
wrong.
Fence. Yeah, I'm still on the fence.
All right, let's go to Diego, Dave. He could be your new friend in Pomona because he's also a piece of crap. Diego, line six. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What's going on?
Guys, Kobe's been a POS his whole career. He's always acted like just a bad guy, and now he's acting like he's a saint this last season, and I hate it.
How is he acting like he's a saint?
Every city he goes to, he acts like, oh, if I would have played here or if my memory's here. And no, like, he's been so selfish. Laker fans forget how much he wanted to leave that time in between.
Yep.
I don't know, like, this guy's a complete jerk.
Right, but hold on, Diego. Hold on one second, Diego. Okay, I'm saying okay to what if he is a complete jerk and he's been an a-hole his entire career. Still, his career is unbelievably impressive.
Yeah, between the lines, you can't argue with his success and his talent.
But then Laker fans are forgetting that he's not even playing most of these home games.
Like, right, because he's 65 years old.
He doesn't respect his own fan base to show up for most of the home games that are being played for the last season.
Okay, Diego's on your side, Dave.
I'm with Diego.
How do you feel about that?
I'll take Diego.
You're fine with Diego?
I'm fine with Diego.
Wow.
You got to remember, this is the guy who ruined the Lakers. Sure, he won a couple championships for them. But he ruined the Lakers.
Of course there was that.
By taking a ridiculous contract that ruined the team.
Dave, you're missing our point, which is that you can hate him.
So much respect for the game.
You can hate him all you want, but still, after a 20-year career with championships, whoever that is... The last time he's
did he win a championship for the Clippers? No.
In fact,
he told the Clippers he was going to play for them, and then when the Lakers made a better offer, he went back to the Lakers
after complaining. He did the right
after
thing.
After complaining, so you know what?
He wants to play for the Clippers.
Yeah, Dave, don't boo.
Boo!
All right, our work here is done.
Hey.
Not everything is a hey, you guys. Hey, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, but I want to thank Casey Clark, Kevin and Bean listener, who had a great idea. I love this. He's thinking ahead toward tomorrow's Kevin and Bean. He's got a phone topic he wants us to do, which is you acted like a dick at a sporting event and then got beat into a coma. So tomorrow we'll have that topic as a follow-up to the conversation we just had with the King of Mexico a few minutes ago.
Wow.
Look forward to that. All right, your chance to ask a sleep expert coming up just after 7. She is a registered polysomnographic technologist.
Of course.
That's
That's her thing. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of questions, and I'm sure you do too, about sleep that we will address next. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat.
By the way, I just spoke with her in the next room. She seems like a lovely lady, but she's wide awake. So how good can she be, right? If I was a sleep expert, I would sleep everywhere. I would just show up at a place, I'd say hello, and then I would just go... I would just nod off until it was time for me to go back to work, well, and then I would wake up.
I don't think that's...
She probably sleeps well during the night, and then she gets up during the day, and she's fine.
But yeah, I want to sleep all the time other than that as well.
You want a sloth life, basically. Yes. You're 22 out of every 24 hours you're asleep.
I have missed sleep now for, I don't know, nigh on 16 years. I really, really need some sleep. I just... I think about it. I dream about it. I lust after it like a nubile young woman when I think of just sleep.
What do you, nobody wants to hear us complain about this job, but the lack of sleep does suck.
Sleep is just...
It really does.
Nothing is more delicious to me now in my life than sleep. And that's all because of you people. You've ruined my life.
I still remember the day I took three naps.
The three best. Naps?
Oh, it's the best. Dear Diary.
Well, you have all that free time from not getting a husband.
Oh, man. Can we put Bean to sleep? Is that one of the questions we can ask this lady? Is there a way we can just put Bean to sleep?
A dirt nap?
Give him a dirt nap.
That happened.
Let's talk about, just take a moment away from show business and talk about sports, shall we?
Yes.
And let's talk about a good sport, because other than hockey, there's not a lot going on right now.
Now the
March Madness is over.
Well, soccer.
Final Four. Now that's what I'm talking about. Not much going on.
What about all the baseball games canceled because of snow yesterday? What about that?
That was a good story. Don't get me wrong. That was a plus. But this is better news. NFL news.
All right.
First practices are opening up this week, by the way, for NFL teams. So there is hope on the horizon. It's like early morning. You see just this glimmer of sun coming up. When that sunrise just peeking over the horizon, you say, it's a brand new day.
You know who doesn't say that? Chip, because she's a Dolphins fan.
Dolphins, yeah, sure.
Here we go again.
The streaming rights for Thursday Night Football, the NFL games of Thursday Night Football, traditionally, of course, played on the NFL Network, CBS, sometimes also has them. But I was stunned this morning to find out that the streaming rights have landed with Twitter.
Yum, yum, give me some of that.
Wait.
Oh.
What?
Right? It's an odd match.
Mm-hmm.
So
the NFL and Twitter. You will be able to watch 10 live game broadcasts for Thursday Night Football during the upcoming football season on Twitter.
Huh.
Right?
Huh.
I don't even know how that would work.
I mean, I guess maybe they'll roll out something like the Facebook Live feature where it'll just be on the top of your page if you want it or something?
This will be free live streaming video of Thursday Night Football. You won't need any authentication or anything. And you can watch it on your mobile phones, your tablets, your PCs, connected televisions. So you will now watch NFL on Twitter.
Let me tell you why I'm especially happy about this.
I know, because you own stock.
Not only I own stock, which you recall I bought at 45.
Right, and what's it now these days?
Thanks to this announcement, it's rocketing.
Oh, good.
It's up to 17 and a quarter.
Wow, yes. Sell. Sell, make your money now.
I don't understand the market, but you should sell.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this has been a gold mine for me.
So there's your late-breaking sports news just happened. NFL on Twitter.
Yeah.
Odd.
You only able to watch 140 seconds at a time, though. You just have to keep downloading it over and over again. It'd be very frustrating. This is proof positive that there's no justice in this country. If you're rich and famous, you get a different deal. This is how I see it. Stephanie Seymour, supermodel Stephanie Seymour.
Okay.
That's a lingering bell.
It was, right
there, yeah. Yes. She was in a Stamford, Connecticut courtroom yesterday where she apologized for getting loaded and then driving and ending up in two accidents on the same day last January.
Wow.
Drinking, driving, Two accidents in the same day. She apologized. Said she was very ashamed of her behavior. And said she's lucky, actually, because things could have turned out much worse. And so the judge said, okay, we'll drop the charges.
What?
Oh, geez.
You just have to do a 6-week treatment program. Attend some Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. Pay some restitution to the damage that you caused. And little alcohol education plan. And
we'll you know just, what? You we'll, shouldn't do that
we'll,
again.
We'll call it a day. Oh, Stephanie, may I say you're looking lovely today, added the judge.
Two accidents just seems like that's just nailing the coffin time,
wouldn't
right?
Wouldn't anyone yes. else yes. be doing hard time? Yes. Like breaking rocks time?
Yes,
that
it should be.
Disgusting.
Like wearing the black and white old-timey striped prison time.
Even if they don't do that anymore?
Even if they don't do it anymore. They'd put you
Bring
in old-fashioned black and white striped prison garb with a little cap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no justice. Nor is there any justice that Gwyneth Paltrow still lives, right? Who's with me?
Well, I think she has children, so I'm glad she's alive.
Yeah, maybe I don't just, she maybe doesn't need
just,
to die.
Maybe
yeah.
just say
quiet.
Less.
Yeah.
Quiet. Yeah.
Sound out. She almost dropped one off the back of her Vespa, though, so I don't even know how
the, following the school bus,
how
right?
those kids are fair. Yeah. She was pulled out in front of a school bus and dropped her kid off the back of her Vespa. I mean, maybe she's not the greatest
so
mom.
So maybe we should reconsider right. that.
That's yeah. what I'm saying.
All right.
She's got a new beauty treatment for you on Goop. You know, she loves the Goop.
Mm-hmm.
Gwyneth loves her Goop. She is on goop.com, her website, allowing you, the average American woman, her beauty tips. And she said her newest, greatest one is allow yourself to get stung by a swarm of bees.
Come on.
You heard me.
That's,
you heard me.
This is a parody, right?
It's
this
not.
Is The Onion?
Yeah.
In a new interview with the New York Times, Gwyneth extols the virtues of bee swarm sting therapy. She says it's a thousands of years old treatment called apithotherapy. Apithotherapy.
You know, all about them bees.
Apithotherapy. Apithotherapy. People use it to get rid of inflammation and scarring. It's pretty incredible if you do the research.
But, wow.
But man, it's painful, she added.
How many bees are you supposed to get stung by to get maximum health benefits?
A swarm.
Okay.
How many in a swarm? A metric swarm, not an English swarm. Oh. How many in a metric
I'm
swarm?
Sorry,
144?
Don't.
144?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So the bee venom therapy. You'll be attacked by a swarm of bees. You can do it through the American Apithotherapy Society for just 15 cents per bee. So you order up how many bees you want. Give me 100 bees. All right, that'll be $15.
Right?
I didn't know there was going to be math on this test.
Ralph was hoping I would jump in with the wrong answer.
Do I have to show my work?
That isn't good for you.
Yes. So you get stung by a swarm of bees, and it brings you great health.
What's the benefit? What does it do for the bee venom do for you?
Oh, Bean. It reduces inflammation and scarring.
Does
it?
I would think that it would create inflammation and scarring.
Yeah.
Oh,
you guys
you don't know.
You don't know. You don't get it.
There's one small drawback, though. There is no reputable mainstream health source that says that any of these claims are actually based on science.
But Gwyneth Paltrow said it, right? So
she did. That okay, lady so, said it, yes.
I mean,
so. What is that? What is it? What is that? What is that? What is it? Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah! I love my eyes! Gwyneth now. Gwyneth is getting a treatment.
That sounds painful.
Sounds relaxing.
Wow. Getting a treatment. I hope she's getting her vagina steamed at the same time. Today's celebrity birthdays, Haley Atwell. Agent Carter, of course. On Marvel's Agent Carter, 34 years old today. Pharrell Williams celebrates his 43rd birthday. Mike McCready of Pearl Jam's 50. Christopher Reed of Kid Play. He was Kid, by the way.
Sure.
Is he the one with the hair, with the Gumby hairdo?
Ali, you're our hip-hop correspondent. You tell me.
Flat top, big...
Which one had the hair?
Tall.
He's got to wear his pants backwards.
Nope.
No,
it's
crisscross. Anyway, Kid is 52 today. And DDP, wrestling legend Diamond Dallas Page, celebrates his 60th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, Ralph was saying a few minutes ago how much he misses sleep because of this job and his busy life and having a family. Wouldn't you guess that sleep has got to be right up there with money as the thing that people want more of in their lives? Sleep is precious.
Yes, Bean.
So why are you mocking me? I'm saying sleep is sleep.
Because I don't think we need to establish that sleep is needed and precious.
I just think we're all
everybody
pretty aware
out
of that.
There wishes they could get more and better
right.
sleep.
Right.
And we may have some answers for you on how to do that, because we are delighted to welcome a Kevin Devine listener to the show. Her name is Elena Sherrill. She is a registered, correct me if I say this wrong, a registered polysomnographic technologist at Hoag Hospital. Is that right?
That's right.
That sounds like made up words. What is a registered polysomnographic technologist, Elena?
So I am licensed to do sleep testing on patients who suffer from sleep disorders.
So you stick the stuff to their head and watch them sleep.
I do. That's what I do.
I want to do that so bad.
You should. Everybody should.
You want to watch or you want to sleep?
No,
and be
I
want to
do it and be watched. What?
I don't know if you've forgotten the webcam I put in your apartment, but you're already being watched while you sleep, so you're getting that. So, Elena, what attracted you to this field?
Actually, at first it was just a job. I could work at night and go to school, and I love it. I actually love the job of helping people sleep, because immediately after one good night of sleep, somebody's just so happy and thankful for the help.
How widespread is the problem of people not getting consistent good sleep?
You would be shocked. Depending on the sleep disorder, tons of people suffer from sleep disorders, insomnia, sleep apnea, and you definitely, anytime you're not getting good night's sleep, you want to go talk to the doctor. But most people go, oh, I'm getting older. Oh, you know, I'm stressed.
My life's busy.
I'm busy. I'm probably, that's why I'm not sleeping. And they don't realize, hey, I might have a more complex sleep disorder that needs treatment, and they won't go to the doctor.
Yeah, I wouldn't think go to the doctor at all.
No.
Because then we go, okay, so.
Yeah.
So a lot of times there's something medically wrong with you that can, in some cases can be corrected.
Definitely. Yeah. If you're putting in the effort to try and sleep better and you're waking up still feeling tired, there's a good chance you have sleep apnea. And although you're trying to get good sleep, you're struggling all night long to breathe.
And what is sleep apnea?
So sleep apnea is a condition where you stop breathing while you're sleeping. So part of sleep is relaxation. You lay down to go to sleep and your body relaxes, and so does your upper airway, and all that soft tissue blocks your airway and you struggle to breathe all night long.
I would think that would be the goal. You're so relaxed, you stop breathing.
No? And not forever.
That's a big sleep, Allie.
Do you want to die?
Not the forever sleep.
But how do you fix sleep apnea then?
So if your airway's blocked, we need to get it open. So if so you want to the gold standard treatment is called a CPAP machine. Most people hate it because you're wearing a mask while you're sleeping.
That's what Petro says. Petro says of that thing. He looks like Hannibal Lecter, right, from the Silence of the Lambs movies. That kind of thing.
You could, but there's definitely smaller masks for people.
Yeah, I was going to ask, have we not made any advances in that?
Because it's aren't they so sexy, Elena?
Wear something the size of a football helmet to get some sleep.
Well, definitely there are. Actually, they just started performing surgery for sleep apnea. You can get a device implanted, just like a pacemaker, and it simulates your airway and opens it up. So,
that's interesting.
They really are truly making a lot of advances. So, there's a lot of treatment too. You can just simply sometimes put a mouthpiece into your mouth, and it repositions your jaw, creating space, and sleep great.
So this is a field where lots of research is being done and advancements are coming along the way, which is great, right? It means like we're
everybody's talking about sleep right now. Everybody.
Yeah.
They're doing so
I hear that sleep is very important.
I have heard that
as well. That's what I heard. I heard a guy on the radio say that. So that's
Elena,
how I do it.
What about, and we're going to take calls, by the way, if you'd like to ask a sleep therapist at 1-800-520-1067, if you've got a particular problem or question. Now, we should note that you are not a doctor, right? You cannot give specific medical advice. So we are talking in general questions about sleep.
But we're doctors.
We are doctors.
So we've got that side covered.
But if you want to ask Elena a question, 1-800-520-1067, we'll get those on in a minute. But I wanted to ask you this. What about the mistakes that many people make? And there's so much conflicting advice out there about things that you should and should not do leading up to and going to bed. Well, can you address some of those things? Like I've heard people say you shouldn't watch TV or you shouldn't be on your phone or you shouldn't drink or eat something. What do you know about that
shouldn't
in terms of
drink? That's absurd.
What do you know about what kind of general suggestions can you make to set us up to be more likely to fall asleep well?
Sure. Yeah, you want to look at something called sleep hygiene, and that's the proper sleep habits to get a good night's sleep. A lot of people, they start worrying about sleep in the night, right? It's evening time, how am I going to sleep now? Or even when they get in bed, they're under the covers or in the pajamas, it's like, okay, let's go to sleep. But the thing is the moment you wake up is how you're setting up how you're going to sleep that night. So you should wake up every day at the same time.
All day?
All day to sleep better. You want to wake up every day at the same time, and that's going to set your circadian rhythm.
Can that time be noon? Is that a possibility?
If you want it to be noon.
Not with this job.
So also watch the caffeine intake during the day. If you're getting a cup of coffee at 4 o'clock, that could linger into your system up until midnight, and then you're not sleeping because of that cup of coffee or energy drink you had hours ago, and you don't realize how long it lingers.
And you take that coffee or energy drink at 4 because you've still got to survive the next couple of hours of work or whatever and getting home, and you feel like, oh, I need this energy right now, but you forget that it has lingering effects.
Yeah, and as all day long, we're building up this drive for sleep. That's how we're able to sleep at night. And there's normal times during the day, usually after lunch, right around 4 o'clock, right around 7 o'clock, where it's normal for us to kind of feel a little bit sleepy. But we shouldn't be so sleepy that we're grabbing an energy drink or having to take a nap. That's too sleepy. And that's when you should contact a doctor.
What are your thoughts on naps? Are you for or against them for people who can work that into their schedule?
It depends. I was just talking to Christine in the other room. You guys are all shift workers. You have really odd schedules. And if a nap is going to help somebody that has an irregular work schedule, take a nap. Be safe. But if you suffer from insomnia and you're only getting an hour of sleep at night, don't jump in bed at 9 o'clock and try and get some sleep, because you're probably not going to fall asleep. Don't fall asleep in the afternoon, because you want that sleep to happen later in the night. If you're sleeping irregularly all the time in the middle of the afternoon, you're not going to get that sleep at night.
So there's no such thing as catching up on sleep.
Don't try and catch up.
Wow, interesting.
Unless this group here, you guys are all shift workers.
Well, that's the thing, is we get up at 3:50. So when you said get up on the weekend at the same time, no.
No, no thank you, lady.
Yeah. But I mean, if you get up at 6 a.m. to go to work, don't sleep in on the weekends till 8, because that 2-hour time difference really can affect you. That's like,
but you can sleep in, Elena. You want to sleep in because you can, finally.
I know, but we can get up and enjoy our day.
Elena Sherrill is in studio, by the way. She is a sleep therapist. We're going to be taking your calls in a minute, and if you can't call but can text,
she
the number
jazz
is...
jazz hands kind of
she
true
did.
With that.
2KROQ, the number 2KROQ, if you want to text it a question. All right, before the break, I asked about screens. What are your thoughts on TV and computer screens before sleep? Because some people say that that screws up your mind when you're trying to sleep.
So part of the reason we go to sleep is because the sun goes down, it gets dark, and our body starts producing melatonin, and it says, oh, it's nighttime, let's go to bed. So if I have my house lit up like it's the middle of the afternoon and I'm staring directly into a cell phone screen, it's telling my body it's the middle of the afternoon, don't be sleepy. And so you're not going to be tired enough to fall asleep.
So that's working against you.
It is.
Wouldn't you say, though, that the vast majority of Americans, the last thing they do before they go to sleep is watch television?
Well, yeah, because if I watch TV, it's kind of mindless. I can zone out on my television show. I'm not going to, it's going to be quiet. The reason we can't fall asleep if we turn the TV off and put our phone away is because we're just left there with our thoughts. And then we have to, process all this stress. And
that's terrifying. Our thoughts are terrifying.
This happened 5 years ago.
How do you like reading a book at night before bed?
Reading a book is great. If you're going to use an e-reader, you should switch it over to night mode, so it's a dark screen with white writing. If you're going to read,
why is that?
Again, the light. Bright. You don't want the bright light into your eyes telling.
How does that affect you? I'm just kidding.
So lack of sleep also makes you forgetful.
Elena was wondering what other experts we were going to have to come in to deal with, Kevin. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll get right to your telephone calls. 1-800-520-1067. Elena Sherrill is our guest. If you'd like to ask a sleep therapist, we'll talk to you right after this on KROQ. 1-800-520-1067. That is the telephone number, or you can text us, the number 2KROQ. This is your opportunity to talk to our guest. She is Elena Sherrill, and she is a sleep expert. It's time to ask her your question. Hit it, Steve.
I need some sleep. I'm undone. This is not so fun. Sleep, I always get none. Hey. Who took me in? Cannot win. I just want to sleep in. I hope the Sandman comes. I sleep with both eyes open. With no sleep in sight. Help me sleep.
That is the most
terrifying thing I've ever heard in my life. I apologize.
I'm never sleeping again.
Anyone had to hear that. Ask a sleep expert. Thanks, Omar. All right, let's start with Miko, line 7, please. She's in Glendale. She has a question for Elena Sherrill. Those just joining us, by the way, excuse me, Ms. Sherrill is not a doctor, cannot give specific medical advice, but we can talk in general terms about good advice on how to get a better night's sleep. Miko, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey there. So when I'm falling asleep on most nights, this is a very common average, as I'm falling asleep, my body will physically spasm, especially if, like, a bad thought comes into my head. I might shake my head no to, like, get it out, or, like, my whole body will jerk violently.
Like you're falling down a well.
No.
Oh, because I've had that. Like, you literally jolt and wake yourself up.
Yeah. No. I've had that, too. What is that, Elena? What's going on when that happens to us?
So, I've heard of Allie's situation.
Oh, no.
Well, all the time as yes. you're initiating sleep, a lot of people feel this falling sensation, yes. and it results in a big jolt. I'm sorry.
Is it usually a well?
It's almost never a well.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What about Miko? What causes that? Yeah.
So, as far as Miko, sometimes maybe you're just not getting the falling sensation, but that jolt is just this phenomenon with sleep. The funny thing about sleep is sometimes they're not sure what exactly is happening. Mm, so.
She's possessed by Satan, though, probably.
It's possible.
So we don't know what causes
that.
We're not
100% sure.
Something's going on in your brain.
You definitely want to, if it's causing, any sort of pain, you want to see a doctor. But it's oftentimes just a response. Also, it happens a lot with people that are sleep deprived. If you're in need of a lot of sleep as you're falling asleep, this jolt will become more frequent. But if it's happening every night, you'd probably want to see a doctor.
It's no fun. Thank you, Miko, for the call. Let's go to Pasadena, line 4, please. This is going to be Julie. I'm glad Julie is calling because I wanted somebody to bring this up. You're on with Elena. Go ahead.
Hi there, guys.
Hi there.
So I have to take melatonin every night before I go to bed to help me sleep because I have sleeping problems. Mm-hmm. How long should I take that before I should stop taking it to help me sleep?
So is the melatonin prescribed by your doctor?
No, I just bought it over the counter.
Sure. There's really no reason to take melatonin. Melatonin is something our body naturally produces. So you can produce an abundance of melatonin about an hour before bedtime, turn off your electronics, dim the lights, and start relaxing.
But a lot of people take it because they feel like I'm not sleeping, so my body isn't producing enough melatonin. Are we wrong if we think that?
You're wrong, yeah. Your body naturally produces it. And like I said, our system works on a light-dark system. So if we have the lights up and we're staring into a screen, we're not going to be producing melatonin. So give yourself one full hour, relax, dim the lights, put away the electronics, turn off the TV, and your body will produce it. Now, sometimes a good reason to take melatonin is if you're traveling and your own system isn't producing melatonin, because if I'm on California time and my melatonin starts producing in the evening, but I hop on an airplane and I'm suddenly in Europe, my body won't know to take melatonin, and it's a good use for travel. Unless your doctor's telling you take it at this time and this much, there's really no need to take melatonin. It's not a sleep aid. It's not going to make you tired. Oftentimes we can actually make our sleep schedule irregular by taking melatonin at the wrong time and too much of it.
Julie, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. How? What do you think about sleeping pills, Elena?
They're unnecessary.
You're making sleep sound a lot easier than it is for most of us.
And I didn't tell you guys about the struggles I've had with sleep. I've gone 3-4 days without sleep, and I know what it feels like to be like, I will do whatever it takes to be able to get a good night's sleep. I'll take whatever you want. But in the big picture, if we don't need a sleeping pill to put us out every night, sleep is something we want to do.
Have you studied this at all?
I'm just kind of making it up as I go.
Okay, all right, let's get back to the phones. Let's try Pam, Los Angeles, line 2. She's got another suggestion that I've heard works for a lot of people. Let's see what you think, Elena.
Okay.
Hey, Pam.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
I was just wondering, I know that when you smoke pot before bed that it inhibits your dreams, but does that mean you're not getting as deep a sleep as you should be, or is it just that you're not dreaming?
Sure. So let's just talk about what sleep is for a second. Sleep is just not, we're out, we're off, we're actually in different stages of sleep. Our body's very busy. So there's stage 1, 2, 3 in REM, progressively getting deeper and deeper. Light, stage 1 sleep.
Are you trying to hypnotize us right now?
I feel like it.
Yeah. I'll make everybody sleep. So stage 3 sleep is that deep, deep, you know, nothing's waking you up. You're out. If you woke up out of it, you'd feel just on another planet. But REM sleep is when we're dreaming. We're very active. And so when we take something, a sleep aid, when we smoke pot, it changes how much of we get of the, each of those stages. So if
for the better, though. We're saying for the better.
I don't know if that's what she's saying.
All four stages are better.
Well, you know, I knew this question was going to be asked.
Of course,
so
it's our
audience. I did some research, and, you know, there's it's actually a pretty popular topic right now because some people say it's really helpful. It helps you get a deeper sleep, but it also reduces the amount of REM sleep we get. So I'm interested to see how that all plays out because some people say good and some people say bad.
And is that the same with a glass of wine before you go to bed?
No, it's not because alcohol is actually very terrible for your sleep. It is a REM suppressant. So REM is when we're dreaming, it's when we're getting restorative sleep. And when you drink alcohol, it's we can't go into REM sleep.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
Elena's a bad lady,
yes,
by the
pot,
way.
No to wine.
Pam, I'm glad you called. And I'm actually glad Pam brought up the REM sleep. And I wanted to ask you about this, Elena, because I remember a few years ago, it seemed like there was a lot of discussion about how much sleep you should try to get so that you don't wake up at the wrong time of your cycle. Like there were people who were saying, okay, it goes in 40-minute bursts or whatever, so you want to get 5 hours sleep, not 5 hours, 20-minute sleep, because now you're in the middle of it. You know what I'm talking about? Does that make any sense?
It does. So to go through a full sleep cycle, it takes 90 minutes. So like I was just saying about stage 3 sleep, it's really deep. You're really, really asleep. It's those kids that fall asleep in the car and you can move them and they, you know, into the house and you're like, that's how I want to sleep. That's only about 25% of our night. And so we're going 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes, each REM period getting progressively longer. And so you can time it, you know, if you're going to bed every night around the same time, waking up at the same time, your body recognizes that pattern. And right before your alarm goes off, it's going to wrap up that REM sleep and you're going to wake up feeling refreshed out of a light stage of sleep.
That's so annoying even if when I wake up 2 minutes before my alarm, I'm so annoyed.
But that means you're getting up
two more minutes.
That means you're getting up at the right time,
you're
though, according to
right
your body.
Time.
So then
that's
those
great.
People that say they can take 20-minute naps, they are full of crap because they're not actually getting to that REM stage.
Well, if you're taking a nap in the middle of the afternoon, you don't want to have REM sleep.
Oh, I do.
You should save that for the night.
Oh, okay. But is there an appropriate number to napping?
Well, we should be sleeping so good at night that we don't need a nap.
Well, let's say we're not.
But if we need a nap and it's great if maybe we're going to need a drive and we're feeling really sleepy, take a quick nap. But you do. You want to really small. You don't want to get into the deeper stages of sleep. 10, 20 minutes should be plenty.
Oh,
I feel like
you're
the
worst, Elena.
How about this? How about you can just lay in bed all day and sleep whenever you feel like it? And it's not going to work out good, though.
Oh, yeah. Well,
instead of having a job and paying your bill, you mean? That's what you
exactly,
mean?
Exactly, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we're about out of time here, Elena, but a lot of people are going to want to know how to get more information or any way they can contact you with further questions or studies. What do you have for us?
Sure. You can. So I work over in Newport Beach at Hoag Hospital. We have some.
That's Hoag, H-O-A-G Hospital.
Correct, yeah. And so you can reach me at the Sleep Center. I teach sleep classes. I've got support groups. We have 5 sleep doctors that you can actually do a consultation with, and they can give you real medical advice. And
we
do sleep testing. You can do sleep testing in your house. You can come to the Sleep Center and sleep. But you can reach me at the hospital, hoag.org is the website. And or you can email sleepcenter@hoag.org.
That's fantastic. Elena, so nice to meet you. Thank you for contacting us. Elena, by the way, wrote into the show because she heard us talking to a listener who was having some sleep problems. So she kind of offered herself up.
I'm sure we were giving great advice.
Like we do. Thank you so much for the time. We really enjoyed it. We talked to our sleep expert off the air, and she also said don't hit the snooze button in the morning, too, by the way, in case you're wondering about that.
Listen, everything we do is wrong.
Everything we do is wrong. And yet you complain about not being able to sleep. So maybe some of what she's saying is good advice.
Nope.
I don't like
it. Can't accept that.
For those just joining us, first thing this morning we came on, and of course, like good Americans, we talked about the college basketball championship game last night, and we turned Kevin around. He now loves the Luther Vandross One Shining Moment song, so we took care of that.
Yeah.
So now he's on board with that.
That's terrible, right?
So less than 5 seconds to go in the game. That was a hard-fought back-and-forth game all night long between the University of North Carolina and Villanova. And there's 4.7 seconds left on the clock. And, Kevin, why don't you describe the shot that Marcus Page takes that ties the game?
He is near the three-point line, behind the three-point line, and a defender gets in his face, and he sort of has to pump while he's in the air and then move to his left hand, and then it was an unbelievable shot.
Yeah, and he's 3 feet off the ground, too.
He's absolutely levitating. It's insane.
Yes, he is levitating.
And that is when they tied the game with 4.7 seconds left.
Hot hand from three in the first half. They're going to have to do something from the outside now. It's Page off balance. Puts it up.
How about that kid? How about that shot?
Right.
Impossible. How did he do that? Hey, Matt Money Smith from the Petros & Money Radio Show on AM 570. How are you, sir?
Well, that's certainly a tone for a crappy pair of weekend games, didn't it?
Yeah, no kidding. Saturday was so awful. So what's going through your mind at that point when Page makes that shot? It's all tied up with less than 5 seconds left. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. For whatever reason, I felt like he was, you know, that someone was going to make a shot. That's an eternity of time. And Villanova had been shooting lights out all tournament, you know, in that Final Four game. Obviously, you know, you would assume when you beat a team by 47 or 44 points, you're going to shoot great. But, I mean, that was 58%. I think they were shooting 57% in that game. So, I mean, when you're connecting at that kind of clip, I think, you know, well, obviously, the odds favor you. You make more than half your shot.
But when Villanova got the ball, it was tied. So even if they fail, if they miss, it goes into overtime.
Sure.
So there's really no losing that particular one.
No, but, I mean, the fact that a championship was decided on a buzzer beater, I mean, we said it, I think it was, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, with Gordon Hayward of Butler. Had he made that shot against Duke, it would have been the greatest shot in the history of sports. Greatest play in the history of sports, had he made that half-court buzzer beater. So, you know, I know it's not Butler, it's not that big of an underdog, but North Carolina's a blue blood. And right. As great as Villanova is, they had a good season, they were a 2 seed. That's still a big upset for, you know, a school that doesn't get, they get really good players. There's players in the league, you know, Kyle Lowry comes to mind, who's a really good player for the Raptors, but not like North Carolina.
I mean, yeah, and like you said, Villanova's a good team, but they haven't won a championship in 30 years, so this is rare. How was Chris Jenkins in the tournament?
He was good. You know, he was good. I mean, it was all about, you know, Archie Diacono, the white kid that's been there for 12 years. You know,
I don't think 12.
You know, they're big. So, I mean, that's kind of the story of the tournament as opposed to Chris Jenkins. But that's the thing about college, and one of the reasons why, you know, college sports tends to be better for these storylines is you have stories of Chris Jenkins, you know, who was raised in a single-parent home, whose mom taught him how to shoot, and, you know, or Archie Diacono, who's been there for 6 years and is arguably one of the great players in Villanova history, but nobody knew about him until this tournament. And that's, you know, that's the difference between the NCAA and the NBA.
It's funny. Playoff. They said that his mom taught him to shoot and also didn't allow him to shoot from three-point range until, I forget how long, what, 8 years old, 10 years old?
Eighth grade, I think they said.
Eighth
he wasn't
grade.
Good enough.
Wouldn't even let him do
enough.
It.
Yeah.
What's the backstory? We were talking about a little bit earlier today about the family that adopted him.
You know, I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you. I really don't know because, going into the tournament, if that's the thing about college basketball, it's kind of like boxing. I mean, unless it's all that you do, it's very hard to get every story.
Keep all the storylines straight. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk Big Ten basketball, that's kind of the one conference I follow because that's the tournament I call. So when you get into these, you know, Final Four games or Sweet 16 games, especially when you're playing Oklahoma and you're up 44, that's the only time that story's going to come out.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was on the court playing against his stepbrother, right?
Yeah, Nate Britt.
Yeah,
right,
Britt,
exactly.
Who and Chris, you know, went to Villanova because they were recruiting Britt. You know, so that's the only reason he went to Villanova.
That's
you know, he
funny.
Wasn't even recruited by them, and he just happened to get picked up when Britt chose to go to North Carolina.
We described the first shot, which I thought was going to be the shot that people would remember forever because it was unbelievable. Until Chris came down with 4.7 seconds and then actually shot the ball, the buzzer went off, and it went in.
3 seconds at midcourt. Oh,
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
That guy from North Carolina is like, what about my
my shot. Yeah. My shot was unbelievable.
I was going to get free drinks for life. Wait.
The good thing about that shot is I do think he's still going to get free drinks for life because I think you have to show that shot before you show Chris Jenkins.
Absolutely. Agreed, yeah.
You know, they have to go together. You're right.
Those two shots are connected.
Yeah.
Matt, we haven't had a chance to talk about this on the show yet, but Coach Wright for Villanova.
What's wrong with him?
He just said bang. He had no expression on his face. He just said bang and just started walking over to shake the other guy's hand. I mean, like, explain that reaction to winning the national championship.
Here's all I'm saying. You've been in this game for whatever it's been for him, 35, 40 years, and you're rolling with Rolly Massimino, and you're rolling with Jerry Tarkanian at UNLV at the start of your career. You wear pinstripe suits. You slick your hair back. You know what I'm saying?
What are you saying, Matt?
Don't face you as much. Maybe you've seen some things, but it ain't that big of a deal.
No matter what he had seen, this is the first time he's won a national championship, and it was a last-second shot, and there was zero emotion.
Yeah, zero.
What he said
was he thought there was still time on the clock, and he didn't want to be freaking out as the head coach of a team when they're putting, let's say, 1.2 seconds, or even just point, you know, let's say 8-tenths of a second, which is enough time for North Carolina to run a play and win the game.
Okay, so you think about it for a second, then you look at the clock, and then you go, there's no time. What?
Yeah,
and
you see the streamers are hitting your face. At that point, you can smile.
Right, and that's when the assistant coaches came in, and he said, you know, he let it. It was funny, though. I don't know if you saw some of his comments after the game. He said he was convinced, for whatever reason, that they were going to win this game, and he had prepared a, you know, celebratory speech to give and all that sort of stuff. So it clearly he had some faith.
He's hot, too. Can we just...
Yeah, he is. I'm with
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Certainly a little bit more attractive than the other head coach, Rosalie.
Very true. Very true.
Well, it was super fun, Matt. It was super fun. Yeah. And by the way, real quick, we should say, before we let you go, because we spent a lot of time yesterday bitching and moaning about the Dodgers not being on TV for yet another season. Don't forget, you can always listen to the games on Matt's station, AM 570. Yeah. And what a fun time yesterday watching or listening to Kershaw again and seeing that crazy, crazy win against San Diego. So it's going to be a fun season for you guys, Matt.
Yeah, it is. And certainly, you know, for the Dodgers, hey, he only needs one. Doesn't need those other 14. You can just go ahead and get one, and he'll get the win.
They won 50-0 yesterday for folks who did. All right, Matt, great to have you on. Give our best to people. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
Well, it was 6.7.
I was waiting for somebody to do that.
Come on, man. Go with it. It's a party.
I'm not sure that's the song to do it on, though.
I don't know.
Were you saying something, Kevin?
I was just saying K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean K-Rock in the mornings.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
There's a young man coming in right after the top of the hour that we love. We've had on many times before. Tyler Labine is back. He's in that Boss movie that's coming out this weekend.
Yes.
He's in Deadbeat, which is returning to Hulu later in the month. And he also, Ralph, and I know you're going to be excited to talk Voltron with Tyler. He is also going to be part of the new Voltron Netflix series, too. So a lot going on with Mr. Labine. We'll discuss on the way. First, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Before I get to show business news, let me give you something for putting up for our nonsense. It's the least I could do. You know, at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino, Kevin is once again throwing in one of his famous Guys Night Out parties.
Yeah!
Just dudes. Just Kevin and a bunch of dudes.
That's how he likes it.
Girls usually are welcome as well.
What the? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But he called
Everybody's
it,
welcome.
Why are you calling it Guys Night Out?
8 o'clock Friday night.
What you call it? We're all just people's night out. Why don't you do that? Be a little more inclusive.
I'm not positive the answer to that, Rob. No. I'll check.
It is at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. It's a great event. Everybody gets to play poker and cocktail and have a good time. A lot of the K-Rock Morning Show crew is going to be there. There's going to be Kevin, as I mentioned, Dave, and our very own, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him, Beer Mug, will also be playing poker.
Beer Mug just gives money away, too. I mean,
But he's a financial genius. I'm surprised. I'm an excellent poker player because I like bad beats. Kevin, the only poker player in the room gets a joke out of it.
Bad beats, come on. Yeah. All right.
Hey, you want to play with Beer Mug? Yeah, you do. Your odds just increased if you sit down at the table with Beer Mug. You get a rack of chips worth $200. It's all going to happen this Friday at 8 p.m. call right now. You got to be 21 years of age or older. So let's make it caller number 21. Caller number 21 at 1-800-520-1067 gets a spot at Beer Mug's table for K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. If you don't win, but you'd like to attend anyway, and you should come on out and play, it's thebike.com. Thebike.com is where you can get more details, and you can RSVP for your spot to play poker with the guys.
There was one time when I had done pretty well, and I gave Muggs $200.
Oh,
I
wow.
said, here, play poker and enjoy it for a while. And he stood up after like two hands.
And cashed out?
No.
Oh.
Cashed out.
It was all gone.
I was all in.
Gave
it
away.
First. Well, I did have a 2 and an 8. So I was all in.
I was like, I don't even know how to lose $200 that fast. But
see?
You want to sit at his table.
You could learn something for our boy. I'm shocked and surprised.
At?
Just in general.
Okay.
No, that there's going to be a Speedy Gonzalez movie in the works.
I am surprised by that as well.
Speedy Gonzalez, of course, a popular 1960s Looney Tunes character for the Warner Brothers studio, was a little mouse when I'm Speedy Gonzalez, andale, andale, and he'd run around, and he would, like, torture cats and stuff and everything, and he wore a little sombrero, and he was wildly entertaining. But at some point, somebody said, geez, this is kind of racist.
Right?
Maybe we should stop with the andale, andale mouse, and let's put this character on the back burner. And then you never saw him again. He disappeared. They wouldn't show the reruns. They wouldn't show the cartoons. Once in a while, he'd show up in, like, as, like, a cameo Monster Jam, no, what the hell, Space Jam, that movie where Michael Jordan's playing basketball with everybody. I mean, occasionally you'd see him. But for the most part, he was thought to be culturally insensitive.
It sounds racist.
Right? Well, they're bringing him back. He's going to get his own movie.
Arriba, arriba, andale, andale.
Is he still going to have a donkey and a poncho and a sombrero and
I think
all
they're
the
going
other
with
Mexican
school,
tropes?
Old school Speedy. The voice of Speedy will be provided by Eugenio Derbez.
Oh, he or she is terrific.
Well, you know, of course, he was the voice of Spanish Shrek.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
He was the voice of Shrek in the Spanish version of the film.
All right.
He will be voicing Speedy. He says, in Mexico, we grew up watching Speedy Gonzalez. He was like a superhero to us.
Hmm.
And besides being Mexican, my full name is Eugenio Derbez Gonzalez, and I have big ears. The casting couldn't be better, he said.
Hello, pussycat. I think it's only fair to warn you. I have to pass your way again. I'll slow down so it will be fair.
It sounds racist.
Only Bean would have some Speedy Gonzalez.
Right there.
At the ready.
Dialogue at the ready.
I was surprised, too.
Oh,
well, I would have forgot anything on that. Well, sure enough.
And while we're talking about superheroes, in essence, the eagerly anticipated upcoming Spider-Man reboot film has a title. Spider-Man Homecoming. It's about Spidey going to the prom. There's a big dance after the big game.
I doubt that.
Where's the corsage?
Doesn't sound like a corsage
involved.
Doesn't sound like a good movie.
Now, I'm having trouble keeping my Spider-Man reboots straight. So the Tobey Maguire things, those are long gone, and then they got the new guy to play Spider-Man.
Andrew Garfield was our most recent Spider-Man.
Right. Have they already made a Spider-Man movie with him? And this is the
with
second
Andrew
one
Garfield?
With him? Yes.
There have been two.
Oh, so this is the third new Spider-Man movie with him?
No, he's
it's
no
not
longer
him
Spider-Man
anymore.
This
oh,
is
now
a
there's
rebooted,
a different guy.
This is a rebooted Spider-Man.
All right, so they did like three with what's his face, and then
Tobey Maguire,
with
and then
Andrew
two,
Garfield.
Tobey Maguire, two with Andrew Garfield.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and hey, now
Dean?
There's an yeah.
Open up a blog.
Maybe so you now shouldn't be participating in this conversation.
Well, I'm trying to keep straight here. So there's a brand new Spider-Man.
Yes.
No? Now who's he?
British actor Tom Holland.
He's okay, and this is going to be his first Spidey movie.
Yes.
Got it.
Well, actually, he will appear as Spider-Man first in Captain America Civil War.
Ah.
It's the first time we're getting to see Iron Man and Cap and Spidey all together on the same big screen. So he will appear in that first. Then he will have Spider-Man Homecoming, which will be the Spider-Man standalone film. However, the good news is reports are coming out that Captain America and Iron Man will now appear in the Spider-Man movie as well. So the whole Marvel Universe is finally starting to come together.
Right.
The different movie companies involved in many of these characters are starting to cooperate and allow the characters that they own rights to appear in other Marvel films so we get a more sort of cohesive Marvel universe. So
Spider-Man will fight Speedy Gonzalez. I got it.
I don't believe that's what I said
at all.
However, Batman v. Speedy will be coming out in a next winter.
This is an interesting choice.
You will.
For Spider-Man, this
Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Why is that interesting?
He's so young and
he's a boy.
He's a boy.
Spider-Man is, they're taking him back to his roots. Spider-Man was a high school student when he got his superhero powers, and so he will be returning to his high school roots.
Yeah.
What?
What is your thing? You keep staring at him, yeah, and whispering. No, you're creeping me out.
He's so young and nerdy.
That's what Peter Parker is in a nutshell, young and nerdy.
Well, then it was a good choice, is what I'm saying.
Well, maybe you shouldn't comment on this either.
That isn't what you're saying at all.
It isn't?
No.
Okay.
You're saying, well, he's too young.
He's young and nerdy. Was that Al Yankovic song?
That's right.
I think it was white and nerdy.
Today's celebrity birthdays, speaking of Marvel, Haley Atwell. Haley Atwell, star of Marvel's Agent Carter.
She's awesome.
She is awesome. And, you know, the wonderful ladies who are the showrunners there at Agent Carter, Tara Butters and Michelle Fazekas, also created a little TV series that I like to call Reaper. And
no
Reaper
kidding.
Starred our next guest, Tyler Labine.
How about that?
What's the matter, Bean?
Don't you
what
know?
Just happened?
Don't do it!
You know,
do not do
afraid
it!
Afraid of that show nope. I am, Ralph. Why do you bring that up? It terrifies me.
Sit down. No, Bean, don't fear the Reaper. Anyway, Haley Atwell is 34 years old today. Pharrell Williams is 43. Mike McCready of Pearl Jam's 50. Christopher Reed of Kid Play is 52. And DDP. Diamond Dallas Page, wrestling legend, 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:09.
It sure is.
Hey, Tyler Labine, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We haven't talked to you in almost exactly 1 year. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Thank you. I think last time I talked to you, a pleasure to be here, by the way. I think last time I talked to you, I was in the mountains of BC up in Revelstoke via telephone.
I believe that is correct, yes. Yeah. And you were talking about Deadbeat Season 2 at that time, and here you are talking about Deadbeat Season 3, which premieres on Wednesday, April 20th on Hulu. It's an awesome show. We will talk more about that later, but I want to first get a couple things out of the way.
Sure.
Are there any photos of you without a beard?
Yeah, they're not pretty. they're out there. There are some photos of me from a movie I did called Flyboys with James Franco years ago.
Okay.
This will give you an idea of how infrequently I shave my face.
Yeah.
I think that was about 11 years ago, 10 years ago.
Because most people who have beards, occasionally for roles, they shave there. But you have been consistently able to keep your beard no matter what kind of movie or television show you're doing.
Predominantly true. I'll give you a 90% on that one. Well, I have done a couple things that people just haven't seen where I've shaved it down to a real pervy sort of Walt White goatee.
Maybe that's why people didn't see it.
Yeah, exactly. People love it when I look like a rapist. It's amazing.
What do you like about having a beard? Are we hiding a fat face or what are we doing with the beard?
Oh, absolutely.
Because some people just think, hey, look how cool I look like Abraham Lincoln if I've got a beard. You know, some people think that that's what they're going for.
Yeah, and I did rock a chin strap for a long time, way longer than I should have.
Hold, please. Who thinks, hey, I look like Abraham Lincoln?
I'm just saying as an example of some people.
That's a terrible example. That's the worst example ever.
Some people think they're distinguished if they have a beard. They look mature. They look manly.
All right. But I'm saying you can't have a more recent reference.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will think more like, oh, I look like Zach Galifianakis or, you know.
Somebody that's born, you know, within the last 100 years.
Okay. But I'll tell you the real reason for the beard is my daughter. I shaved it off once when she was about 3, I think, which was about 2.5 years ago. And she lost her mind.
Terrified her.
I had the same reaction. My dad had a beard until I was like 25. And then he shaved it off. And I literally walked by him. We were up at my cottage. And he was like, hey, Tyler. And I said, hey, Uncle Bruce. And I walked by him. And then he grabbed me and pulled me into like a bear hug. And like stared me down. Like he was waiting for me to be like, oh, hey, Dad. And I was like, oh, man, Uncle Bruce is being weird. And he was like literally 2 inches from my face. And then I recognized him. And as a 25-year-old man, I had to really fight the urge to cry.
I've never seen my father without a beard, ever.
It would be terrifying, right, Allie?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why do you not want to shave it?
Why do I not want to shave it?
Because other than the fact that you've had it for a long time and people expect you to see it.
All right. The real reason is that I have
cystic acne.
No. Actually, I have very good skin, except for the fact that I have zero jawline. And okay. there's a lot of extra skin okay. around the jaw. And I have some pretty bad scarring on my chin from some drunken buffoonery.
All right. Drunken buffoonery.
Wow, we are going deep here this morning.
Yeah, and also, it just, I think at some point it just sort of became part of my yeah. thing.
You're
you know?
A beard like, guy.
Yeah.
You just
You're
are.
A beard guy. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
I am looking at a photo. I promise we'll move on. I am looking at a photo of you right
no,
now.
No. Let's talk
Let's
about my
talk
beard
about
more.
This all day.
From the X-Files.
Oh, yeah.
And you have no beard and a giant, like, straight-up blonde hairdo.
Yeah, it's that was my awesome. White guy afro. It was like a super try-hard afro.
So this is the – so was this had to be one of your super early jobs, right, if it's the yeah. X-Files?
Yeah, well, they shot – you know, I moved to B.C. Over there, Pacific Northwest. Hey, shout outs. That was a shout out for you, by the way, Ben.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I moved from Toronto to BC in 1991, and Vancouver was just like a hotbed of sci-fi television show activity, and X-Files being one of those, one of the biggest ones that came out of Vancouver. And if you grew up in Vancouver and you were an actor and you didn't do the X-Files, you were nothing.
You were not an actor.
You weren't oh, nothing,
really?
Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And all the other actors in town were just like, oh, how many episodes of X-Files have you done? And if you had none of those, you were just shunned.
And you came back for the reboot too, right?
I did, yeah. Chris Carter actually called my agents and was like, hey, he was basically scouring the sort of bottom of the barrel for any Vancouver actors that made good. No, you know, he didn't need to do that, which I thought was really cool. He went back to a lot of Vancouver actors that cut their chops on X-Files and asked them to come back and reprise their role. And yeah, I did two episodes as that character when I was like 17, 16 and 17.
Wow.
With the late, great Kim Manners, who directed the lion's share of the All original right, yeah. series. And I have some great stories from that, like Kim Manners asked me to get really high.
Wait,
in the
you
first
were the
episode.
Huffer.
Yeah,
he was stoner number one, right?
Weird
yeah.
to me.
Oh, you were the huffer. Yeah, I was the paint huffer, and that's yes. it's been a bad progression for that guy.
Yeah,
really.
It went
from like
paint
smoking
is not the road to.
No,
wealth
and
happiness.
That's not the key to enlightenment. Yeah. No. Yeah, I think that was the joke. Is that like 20 years later, me and the same girl, which our names are Stoner and Chick. Artist in the woods huffing paint, like it's gone off the rails. It's bad for them.
If someone had come up to young Tyler Labine back then when you were doing the X-Files yeah. and told you about the kind of career that you would have built since then, you would have been really, really impressed, Tyler, because you don't seem to me like a guy. Look, I know you've worked hard and I'm sure there have been disappointments and things you didn't get, but you don't seem like a guy who's ever stopped working and has been in all sorts of movies and all sorts of TV shows and all sorts of, you know, streaming things. It's pretty impressive. Dude,
thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's hard sometimes to stand back and look at it like that, you know, because I feel very much like I still am like hustling, you know.
You got a body of work, dude.
I do.
What
I
I'm
do.
Saying.
But
and
I just,
a body too, by the
oh,
way.
Right.
While we're at
oh,
it.
I got a bod. But yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate you saying that. I definitely still am and striving to get to, you know, other sort of levels, heights of success. But I definitely feel like if I do that a lot, actually. I think about the 8-year-old version of me looking at me and just going like, hey, man, you're all right. You did okay.
Now get yeah. back out there and get another
get
job.
Get out there and get some more money. But yeah, thanks, man. I've made a very great sort of efforts to just stay busy.
Yeah,
stay,
well, you've
stay,
done
stay
that.
Relevant.
We're going to take a very quick break. We'll come back. More with our guest, Tyler Labine. We've got so much to talk about, including The Boss, which looks fantastic, which is out Friday with Melissa McCarthy, of course. Also, The Return of Deadbeat, which is one of my favorite streaming shows. That's on Hulu Season 3. And we want to talk Voltron, too,
oh, yeah.
which is very exciting news. And I know that was the talk of WonderCon. So that's yeah. going to be awesome, too. More with Tyler right after this on camera. Tyler Labine is our guest in studio here on The Kevin Labine Show. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Labine. He's got so much going on. What do you want to first talk about of all the projects on the way here, Tyler? You got so much good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll go in order of release date here. So this Friday on the 8th, I have The Boss coming out with Melissa McCarthy, Peter Dinklage, Kristen Bell, Kristen Schaal.
Wow.
Annie Mumolo.
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates. You name
cast.
Yeah, Cedric Yarbrough. There's just like all of the Groundlings alums. And then somehow me. I end up in there somehow.
You just don't ask?
No, I know. Never do I ask that question.
We marvel at Melissa McCarthy because she seems to be, and I compare her a lot in my mind to Will Ferrell, in that she is completely fearless and goes for the comedy and just is willing to try so many different things and always surprises you with her performance. Did you kind of get that feeling working with her too?
Oh, yeah. It's a real... I mean, it's not like it's totally unheard of, but it's very, very rare to watch someone in, right in front of you be the funniest human being that you have ever encountered in your life. You know, I've had that with a couple – like Brett Gelman had me on the floor a few times. But Melissa McCarthy, yeah, I would say fearless is a really great word for that. But that's like – that's their world. If you're not doing all you can to find the funny and mind the funny in a scene and just – and by the way – their scripts are just a very loose guideline. You show up in the morning, you put something on its feet, you run it, and it just goes, like, it takes a sharp left turn. If you don't stick with it, you're out, man. You are just out. And Melissa is just, like a bulldozer.
How intimidating is that for you who might not have the same background in improv that she does?
Well, fortunately, I do. I wasn't, like... You know, I didn't go through Groundlings or anything, but I certainly did my Canadian version of that with, like, you know, theater sports and.
Okay, good.
But I'm a heavily improv based actor, but I'm certainly not like an improv only kind of guy. I'm an actor, you know, who happens to be able to improv. But that movie was like an exercise in trust. It was like a real trust exercise. There was a lot of moments where I was improvising, especially with some of their friends who came in to do one or two days. Who are Groundlings alums. And you just, there's this moment when you're ad-libbing with someone who's so good at it, where you see them look you in the eye and they're like, okay, now I'm going to push you over the cliff. And you go, okay. And then there's just nothing. There's no safety net. You have no script anymore. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're just trying to stay in it with this person without getting into a very obvious one-upmanship sort of funny competition.
Right.
Because that just – if you do that, that just ruins any possibility that it'll ever end
it's
up
gotta,
in the movie.
It's got to stay teamwork.
Did you ever try to improv in the movie? Did you ever try to improv something and everybody just stopped and went, nope?
Yeah, that happens. But you know what? That's part of being fearless is that – yeah, like I don't know if you guys know Kurt Braunohler. Do you know Kurt Braunohler?
Oh,
yeah, Kurt is like the bad guy on Deadbeat this season.
Oh,
and same thing. It just throws stuff at the wall, and if it doesn't work out and everyone kind of goes, he just doesn't care. He's like, yeah, whatever. It wasn't funny. I tried it. You know,
I gave it a try.
Whenever, it's like, you know, Robin Williams. I mean, you know, like if 30% of what he said stuck, he was happy, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Now, Melissa works with her husband a lot. He directed this film, right? Ben Falcone, who's a great, hilarious comedian as well. What's that like being on a set with a husband and wife? Does it ever get... Does it ever seem
mushy?
Like personal?
They're always walking away doing it.
Yeah, they're always just like off in a corner making out.
Or worse, yelling at each other.
Yeah. Right. Honestly,
everybody take five.
Well, especially when one's the director and one's the lead actor, I would think there could be conflict.
Yeah, and you know, and this is not taking anything away from Ben Falcone, but the two of them together really kind of directed the movie. You know, like Melissa certainly didn't don that title. But I think the two of them complement each other very well. And I think they're both aware of the fact that they work together to sort of...
For the greater good.
For the greater good, yeah. Gotcha. Ben certainly took... He was at the helm. Like, it's his movie. But they work together so well. And that's been their MO since Groundlings. Like, they just enable each other to find the funniest sort of version.
They make each other better.
Yeah, and they call each other Mooch on set. And they're like... they're really sweet. And they're really like... Honestly, I don't know if they've been on the show... They are the nicest, most genuine people, and like they're just so normal and hardworking, and the work ethic is really there. And I really
are they casting
that.
For The Boss 2 right now, or what's happening here?
Yeah. Like Tyler's auditioning.
Just being genuine.
But in The Boss 2, I'm playing every role. I'm doing like an Eddie Murphy kind of. Yeah.
All right. So that's this Friday in theaters. It looks great. Please go see it. And it's then on April 20th, is season 3 of Deadbeat, which is it's got to be one of the signature shows for Hulu. I feel like it was one of their first original. Series, and it's so funny, and that's a funny describe for folks who maybe haven't seen it how you're kind of a ghost whisperer.
Yeah, okay, so season 3 April 20th 4:20 for those who are paying attention. It's basically I play a upwardly mobile incredibly stupid stoner medium. I would say drug addict. I wouldn't even say stoner. He's got some controlled substance issue problems. But no, it's basically the idea is that we wanted to not lampoon, but definitely satirize these sort of very serious looks on the whole medium genre.
All these frauds that are out there, yes.
Yeah, really. And make a guy who really doesn't even want this gift slash curse and just really take the piss out of it. You know what I mean? Just like really have some fun with him being like sort of put upon as this medium. He can't figure out how to monetize it no matter how hard he tries, even though it's certainly a fairly easily monetizable skill. And this show is all about him sort of taking on these ghosts with sort of really sad last unfinished business items that I have to take care of to help them move on to their other realm.
And it's so funny too. It's such a funny show. And I have to say, the times I've seen you have sex with a ghost have really created nightmares for me, Tyler.
Sure. Did you guys see at the end of last season where I had sex with a ghost, but it was really just me masturbating?
Oh yeah, I sure did.
That scene, I gotta say, shooting that was a benchmark in my career where I was like, well, I'm doing this. I'm making this happen myself on camera.
Check this one off. Yeah. Is this the clip they're gonna show years from now at the Oscars in memoriam? Is this the time of the clip they're gonna pull?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a funny show, by the way. So definitely check out Deadbeat, and then Voltron. Now this is still a ways.
Before we move on from the Deadbeat premiere, I would just like to say that please come follow us on the official Deadbeat fan page on Facebook, on Twitter as well, on Hulu, because we're about to launch the promos, and like with a streaming show like this, we need all the attention we can get a fourth season, and we really want it.
Yeah, spread the word.
And there'll be a lot of cool teaser trailers and promos and things coming out in the next week. So just come and check it out.
I love that Cal Penn is joined the cast too, because we love him. So
that was what I was going to say too. Cal Penn is now the official Deadbeat sidekick for me, so it's been really great. It's fun to actually have my own sidekick who's way more famous than me.
He's been on Air Force One.
Yeah,
that man.
Yes.
Unreal.
Yeah, a few times.
Yeah.
Worked in the White House.
He probably brags a lot about knowing President Obama, right?
He doesn't really? Have to talk about it.
I would very secretive every sentence with that every time.
As I was saying to Barry the other day. All right. Now, I don't know how much you can say about Voltron, but thanks to WonderCon, we've seen a little bit of it. This is a big deal. It's coming back to Netflix, right?
Yeah. I can say pretty much everything about it now. After the WonderCon release and the cast reveal. I play Hunk. I'm the pilot of the Yellow Lion, the left leg. The most important leg,
sure,
obviously. Right. But yeah, we have been doing it for over a year and a half now. Wow. A 72 episode pickup.
Oh my God. And you had to keep all this a secret pretty much?
Yeah, it was all a secret. I think I just actually spilled some beans on something I wasn't supposed to say.
The number?
You just said you could say everything.
Yeah. I don't think you were supposed to say the number.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
The first season is 13 episodes. But we've been making the show for a long time, and we've had to keep it under our hats this whole time. And that's been really hard because I'm like a giant kid. You know, every time I get to go into the booth and say, you know, let's form Voltron, I'm like, I get to just be a part of Voltron. Everything inside of the little kid inside of me has just been bursting to tell people.
So you're the right age, Tyler, to have watched Voltron in the 80s? Is that what we're saying here? So this was a thing for you.
Oh, big time. He-Man, Voltron, and like Transformers were my... That was my jam, and some other little known, you know, cartoons like Mask, GoBot, but the definitely
GoBot or GoBots.
Okay,
GoBots.
Got it.
Which is also that is something I strongly believe in. But no, Voltron for me was like I went after this very actively. I'm playing a 17-year-old. Which I don't know if you can tell by my vocal quality is not exactly my range.
Mainly a 17-year-old.
So I've had to really work at sort of changing the voice a little bit and sounding a little more, you know, immature, which that part is easy.
Right.
But yeah, it's me, Rhys Darby, Steven Yeun from Walking Dead, Jeremy Shada from Adventure Time, Josh Keaton, who's played like everything from the Green Lantern to Spider-Man in very famous, you know, cartoon reiterations. Bex Taylor-Klaus from Scream, Kimberly Brooks. The cast is just amazing. I can't talk about the guest stars that have come in yet, but we've had some really big ones come
in. Who
are
the guest stars?
I can't talk about those yet.
So close.
I thought I could crack you.
Yeah. But you almost did. I was like, oh, well, you're asking me, I guess. I have to tell you. It was such a polite, sneak-in question.
It was
there.
Almost Canadian.
Yeah. if you had to just say please.
Did you meet a lot of Ultron fans at WonderCon, and can you draw any conclusions about them?
Yeah.
They are him.
I did.
They're your people.
Yeah, they're my peeps. We had a fairly extensive panel where we showed a lot of clips from the show, and we showed some very sort of seminal moments of the, like Voltron forming for the first time. And the reaction, and honestly, I knew how much this meant to me. But sometimes you sort of live in a little bubble. I thought, well, yeah, this is great. It's like I'm a bit of a dork and I love this. But there are a lot of dorks. Dorks, and they all...
The dorks rule the world right
they
now.
They really do. Yeah. And the reaction was hair-raising, genuinely. Like, people were losing their minds in there. And I just, I've been in a lot of panels for things, and I've never been more eager than the people watching the panel to see the clips. Like, I literally, when they put on the clips, I was like...
Turned around,
looking, and just mouth agape, all the hairs on my arm standing up. It genuinely is, and this is not to discredit anything else I'm involved in, but it's one of the things I'm most excited about right now, and it's so good, and it's so epic, and it's like everything that Voltron sort of became in your like gaps in knowledge, like the nostalgia you have for something sometimes doesn't add up to what it actually was.
Right,
right.
You go back and watch Voltron.
Transformers.
Yeah.
Transformers.
It's a mashup of two shows, the original one, and they made all these other spinoffs, all great. Just not fully formed, and this is a very fully formed, very smart, talk about season arcs. It's so tightly knit, and it's beautiful. It's 2D anime. They went for the real sort of squint test, nostalgia feel, and it's going to pay off in spades. I think it really wakes something up in you from your childhood.
That's great.
But it also looks so good and so new that I think it will bring in a very new, younger crowd as well. I can't wait to watch it with my boy,
You know what I love, Tyler, is that a lot of actors come in here and they are doing publicity because they have to. But you genuinely love all the projects that you're promoting right now.
I try to do
stuff that I like. Which has got to be so exciting for you.
Yeah. It's, I really try to do... Also, it makes it easy when I'm coming in to talk to you guys, by the way. But
Which of these three is the worst, though? The Boss, Deadbeat, Voltron.
That's a loaded question.
Don't answer it, please.
If I had to pick, I'd say none.
Okay.
None of them. Yeah.
All right. It's acceptable.
They're all great.
That's acceptable.
All right. I hope we have given our listeners homework. There's lots of Tyler Libby out there for you to go and enjoy, and please do. And again, you want people to go to the Deadbeat Facebook page and get on board to help spread the word that the series is coming back.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I have one sign-off here. I promised my kids that I would tell their two favorite jokes on the air. They're listening right now.
Oh,
excellent.
My five-year-old daughter and my two-and-a-half-year-old son.
This will be fun for all of us.
Yes. They're very clean. My daughter's favorite joke right now is, why did the whale cross the street?
Hi. I don't know, Tyler. Why?
To get to the other tide.
Aww.
Okay.
Cute. Right.
Adorable.
My son's a little more blue.
Okay.
He's a two-and-a-half-year-old?
It's my two-and-a half-year-old. Because we start telling, we make up jokes, and he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to make up a joke, too. And this is what he just spat out. He just said, knock, knock, bang, boobies. And I love it because it has a little bit of everything for everybody.
Awesome. It's got action. It's got romance.
It doesn't require participation from anybody
it's
else.
It's got brevity.
It's got everything. Yeah.
Knock, knock, bang, boobies.
I think your son might be a genius.
I think so.
Tyler, thanks for coming in, man. We love you.
Thank you, guys.
10 days until this year's Coachella Weekend 1. Kevin, your level of interest, please, in seeing Guns N' Roses.
My level of interest in seeing Guns N' Roses. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Excited.
Okay.
I don't think I'll stay for the whole show because there's so much else to see when you're at Coachella.
So a few songs?
I would say a half hour maybe or 45 minutes depending on how they are. But if they're great, I'll stay.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen them before?
I never have.
Most of the classic lineup by now is back together. Friday night they did a show at the Troubadour. They sold tickets for $10, I think, and people were lining up to buy them first thing in the morning. By the way, Nicolas Cage somehow was at the show. Somehow I don't think he put down his $10. Kate Hudson was there. Bradley Cooper was there. Chris Brown was there because he's a known Guns N' Roses fan. Lenny Kravitz was there. Jim Carrey was there. And our own Nicole Alvarez from Nighttime here at K-Rock was also at the Troub for Guns N' Roses. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, you sexy beast.
And to you as well. How about you?
Wait, Bean. Was it Bean? Which one of you said you've never seen Guns N' Roses? I mean, I know it wasn't the full lineup, but they played our Inland Invasion like 6 or 7 years ago.
We don't go to the 909. You should know that about us. We do not go to the 909. So this was for the look. There have been incarnations of Guns N' Roses that have toured in recent years, but people wanted to see Slash standing next to Axl, and that's what they got on Friday night. First of all, how tough was it for you to get in, Nicole? Even though you're K-Rock's Nicole Alvarez.
I'll tell you this. I didn't get in because I work at K-Rock. So it wasn't because I'm a privileged child of a radio station.
Right.
It was because I knew somebody very important that walked me in.
Okay.
And, I'm going to get crap for it because I didn't wait in line at the Tower Records, but I would have if I could have.
Okay. So this was a big deal. This was a must-see for you.
Yes.
Answer the question. I know they really tried. A little bit of video has squeaked out, but they tried to clamp down pretty hard. What do you think of how they sounded and how they function on stage as a band at this point?
So from what I saw, I think the excitement, like what everybody was talking about, was the energy. Like you didn't know if he was going to show up. You didn't know what you were going to get. So the excitement in the room, the energy was off the charts. When they started playing, Axl looked really tight, fresh in the face. He sounded really good, but it was almost like there was an invisible divider between him and Slash. Slash was all business, doing his thing, and then Axl was kind of center stage doing his own thing. It was almost like they weren't even on stage together,
uh-oh,
but they were individually doing a fantastic job.
That scares
this
me.
This doesn't bode
that
well.
That scares me for a band that's announced
that
a tour. Yes,
yeah, it
makes sense.
Totally disjointed, like they were both on their own stage performing to their own people. They weren't a band.
They were connected to the audience. They were connected to the audience, and they were there to play the songs, and they kicked ass. They just didn't seem like they...
They're not best friends yet.
No, not even a little bit. Hmm. Not even a little bit.
How's Axl's voice?
It sounds really good. I mean, there's some parts like during Sweet Child of Mine and during the higher stuff, he can't hit like he used to. But the You Could Be Mine sounded incredible. For the most part, he sounded really good and his moves were on point. Slash was better than ever.
Yeah. I was just happy to see Axl's not still rocking the cornrows. That was the worst look ever when he did that a couple of years ago.
No, but let me tell you, homegirl, like Mariah Carey, had like 6 or 7 outfit changes throughout the night. So,
wait, I'm sorry. Who had the outfit changes?
Axl. Called him
homegirl. Axl did. Oh, okay.
She referred
wow.
Axl as homegirl.
All right, you lost me there. Well, I was confused because I know there's a girl in the band now playing keyboard, so I wasn't sure if we switched players. Okay, so he changed his outfits 6 or 7 times during the show at the Troub?
Yes, he did.
That's unnecessary.
He left the stage, and then at one point, he left and he came back. Like, during You Could Be Mine, he did the bandana, which everybody went crazy for. He changed jackets a few times. He just, he wanted to freshen the look.
Okay. All right.
After
now, Nicole,
song.
You made reference to the fact that when you guys were there, you wondered if they were going to show, because they're famous for showing up at a New Year's Eve gig at 4 a.m., for instance. You never know what you're going to get when you buy tickets for a Guns N' Roses show. What do you think the likelihood is of all of these shows on their tour going off this summer?
I don't know about all of them, but I know that they'll show up at Coachella. And also, from what I understand, it's big money for them.
And, I'm sure that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But I could see, I could feel towards the end, maybe a few, some egos coming into play. But I know that the first half will go pretty smooth. So
good.
I think we've got it good.
I hope that at some point, as we get deeper into this, we start to hear some of the details of how it came together behind the scenes. Like, did Axl call Slash? Did Slash call Axl? Did people get together in a neutral location and hammer it out in behalf of them? Like, what issues, what hatchets had to be buried before this could happen? I'd love to know the story.
Well, I know there's one thing. Hold on one sec. I'm so sorry. Did you hear about the Steven Adler thing that happened, that he was supposed to play on the Sunset Strip and then canceled it at the last minute?
Yes.
No, I didn't hear about that. Now, this is their drummer who's not invited to the tour, right?
Yes. Okay, I'm going to tell you this really quick. So Steven Adler with his band had a gig, and they were going to play at the Whiskey, and at the very last minute, they canceled.
Yes.
And they thought that that was because Steven would go back and play with Guns N' Roses, but apparently not. He blamed it on some back problems.
Hmm. Okay.
So they think he might show up at Coachella, is what I'm saying.
Okay. What's your level of excitement of seeing them at Coachella?
Now, a six, a solid six.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's quite a ringing endorsement. And it was an eight before the Troubadour. Well, Nicole, we didn't know. We're not cool enough to have gotten into the show, and we didn't know anyone cool enough to get into the show. So that's why we're so happy that you were there and you could give us the firsthand report. So thanks for coming on.
You're very welcome, guys. Have a good morning.
Thanks, Nicole.
Listen to you tonight at 6. Bye-bye.
It is 8:55.
What is up with Florida? We will find out coming up right after 9 o'clock here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
I bet it's no good, whatever that Florida is up to.
I think you're right about that.
Because there's some shenanigans going on down
right?
there in that state. Wacky stories come out of it.
Are you mocking my feature?
No! Would I mock you and or your features?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got me there. Hey, you want to watch football?
Yes.
How about Thursday? You like the Thursday night games on football?
No.
No, they usually blow.
They're terrible.
Oh, stop it. You know what? The worst football game ever is better than the best baseball game ever.
Well said.
Thank you.
I agree with that.
It's because it's true.
The way it's said.
That's
it's
why.
True.
Well, because I'm speaking your language, first of all, but the intent behind it is also correct.
It's well, probably true.
Well, now when you got your phone, and you're in a Thursday night, and you're out at a nightclub or a restaurant or a bar, and then I don't have my game on. Just hit Twitter. Just go on Twitter. Watch football on Twitter, why don't you?
The whole game?
NFL announced today, Twitter wins the rights to stream NFL's Thursday night games on its app. So you'll be able to watch Twitter without any authentication, without any...
You have to join anything?
No fees. It's free. You can watch it on your phone or your PC or your tablet. Whatever your little device is, you can watch it via Twitter. Huh. I'm shocked, stunned, and amazed at the results. Because I knew NFL was shopping around its streaming package. But there were a host of companies competing for it. Facebook wanted it. Amazon. Verizon wanted to renew their deal that they already had with the NFL.
Wow, that's crazy. But, I'm really surprised that Facebook didn't get it just because they are pushing the Facebook Live right now.
Right.
That would be a perfect application for it.
Right. So that's kind of cool. Sad news. Eric Bauersfeld is gone.
Eric Bauersfeld.
Yes, Eric Bauersfeld. You may not know him by name, but you know his work. I can tell you who he is with one simple line. It's a trap!
Admiral Akbar.
The voice of Admiral Akbar in the two Star Wars films has passed away Sunday of natural causes. His home in Berkeley, California. He was 93 years old.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Pretty good run. He started out... Oh, I hate to even get into this because Bean's going to mess
you
himself.
You start radio?
Then don't.
Not only radio, he was a public radio guy. He started working with the with public radio back in the day. And then he worked for Lucasfilm and became a sound designer for the company. Working on all the Star Wars films, and that's how he got the gig to voice Admiral Akbar in the two films that he worked on.
Here's a clip for folks who don't know what Admiral Akbar sounded like.
But it's a trap!
No, that's not Admiral Akbar at all.
But it's a trap!
No.
What's wrong with you?
Sounds right to me.
That is actually William Dozier, Bill just that Bean just played.
Oh, he died too?
No, he didn't die.
Terrible.
I'm trying to identify the clip that you played.
Day.
And he was the narrator on the Batman TV series.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As well
I
as the producer
that.
Of that show.
Here's good.
I know this is a trap, but I don't know how.
How about that? Was that?
Do you just have a file of
traps?
Random lines that have the words trap in them?
I know this is a trap, but I don't know how.
We heard it the first time. You're not answering the question.
This place is a death trap.
Your Honor, please, please request the that the witness answers the question put forth to him on this, in this courtroom today.
Oddly, I don't have Admiral Akbar, though. I do not have that.
No. Wow. Oh, all the trap clips you have, you don't have that one, because that's not a very famous trap line.
I do have some Fetty Wap.
1730.
Got that from Trap Queen. I got that. Got a little trapped in a bong.
Now I'm looking for the bong. Now I'm finding the bong. Now I'm loading the bong. Now I'm in the bong.
Trapped in a bong. I got that. I don't have your Admiral Akbar, though.
Did you
I'm
hear
sorry,
it?
What, Ellen?
It's a trap!
There it is. There we go.
That up phone. Allie shows up. She shows up for work.
Star Wars app.
It's your Star Wars app. Is that your John?
It's my John.
Can you just hit like any Star Wars?
Yeah,
line?
There's a soundboard on the app. It's
That's
only
cool.
the best app ever. I mean,
I prefer to download rare pieces of audio off of wax cylinders created by Thomas Edison.
That have nothing to do with
what
I
play them
Ralph
on my Victrola.
Oh, Iggy Azalea is my kind of gal.
Guilty.
She's not charged with anything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Iggy Azalea is my kind of lady because she is not about to let a little something like her fiance having sex with a 19-year-old girl get in the way of her marriage. Friends and family saying Izzy has no plans to call off her wedding over a little dalliance that her fiance Nick Young of the Lakers may have had just because he fessed up to cheating with a 19-year-old last summer. She doesn't care. It doesn't bother her.
That's great.
She's got a big-ass monster 10-carat diamond ring on her hand. That's why it doesn't bother her. She may have to sell it, though.
Why?
Because apparently the IRS has just slapped her with a $4,000 tax lien for not paying her taxes back in 2014. She made all that money from the murder business, yo. She's the worst, right?
Love her.
Why do you love her?
I said you love her.
Oh, I love her.
Yes, you do.
I do deeply. And speaking of money problems, I guess those Martin residual checks aren't rolling in the way they used to. Remember Tisha Campbell Martin?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah,
from
sure.
the TV series Martin?
Yeah.
She and her husband Dwayne Martin from White Man Can't Jump have filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy because they're $15 million in debt.
Wow.
Isn't she on Dr. Ken?
Okay.
I feel like she should be making some money from that.
Why don't you check your Dr. Ken app?
Please hold. Beep, boop, boop, boop. Yep, she is.
She claims she has, together, the couple claim they have $373.
Together?
Yes, to their name.
Total.
Wow.
Now they do
and
own.
And they owe what?
They do own. They owe, let me see, once again, $15
million. $15 million. That should about cover it.
Now, they do have a few cars. They got two Range Rovers and a Jeep Wrangler. They said they own about $23,000 worth of goods and two dogs. Maybe they could sell the dogs.
You don't sell your dogs.
Why not?
Because you don't. Because they're part of the family. That's
but
why.
What if some cosmetic firm needs the test?
No!
Then you sell the dogs, right? Because you could probably come in pretty handy.
You're the worst.
Just Ralph thinking. Poking Bean with a stick.
You know, what if you want to see if that mascara burns the eyes or not?
And you don't
you put
that
it in a dog's eyes, right?
And you don't buy cosmetics from companies that
don't
do test that animals.
Don't you put mascara in the dog's eyes? And
no, you don't at all.
And you kick back in a soft beanbag chair and get some popcorn and just watch what happens?
No, not even a little bit.
It's not how I heard it.
Agree to disagree. How'd they get $15 million in debt, by the way?
Yeah, if you have no money, once you're, I don't know, let's be crazy, $5 million debt. Don't say, hey, let's ease off on the spending a little bit. Let's pull back on the reins. Maybe start looking at Groupon or Gilt. Start getting some coupon deals.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
It's crazy. You know what else? Sleep is something people like to have, I heard.
When did Bean start over-explaining everything?
He's got some fresh takes on things like $15 million worth of debt is bad and crazy, and sleep is something people want to get.
Look, we were bringing on a sleep expert, and
right.
I was just pointing out that I thought it was a topic that was universal among many of our listeners.
Yeah.
That
you know
they...
what? When something's universal, you really don't need to make Pooh find a point of it, I think. That's our point.
We're saying people know sleep is important without you saying a word about it.
You know what's good when you're thirsty? I find water. Water comes in handy.
Just trying to set the table, you guys. That's all so that everyone else could just sit down and eat after I've done all the hard work.
Yeah, it was a lot of work when you said sleep is important.
You must have just been exhausted.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you take a nap after that?
Really set the table.
I was going to take a nap, but she told me naps were a bad thing, so I didn't.
You threw some paper plates on the table and put a stack of napkins down and said, "Eat up, Johnny." I don't know what that means.
But I liked it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Diamond Dallas Page is 60 years old today. Christopher Reed, he's kid of Kid and Play, turns 52. Mike McCready. Hey. What?
Nothing.
Hey. You said he.
Were you going to say he was in House Party?
So you weren't saying
with...
nothing.
No.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say anything. I apologize if I made a noise. It was not on purpose.
Now just stuff just spilling out of him.
I don't know what's
now
happening.
Now he's just leaking words.
I don't know what's happening.
Mike McCready's 50 years old today.
Dean.
I'm okay. It's funny because it's true.
Why did it get so highbrow in here?
Pharrell Williams is 43 years old today. And actress Angel Haley Atwell is 34 years old today. Proof of God's existence. Hell yeah. Well, celebrates her birthday today. Oh, by the way, real quick, I neglected this all morning. I just found out that Roger Corman, legendary movie producer Roger Corman, also celebrates his 90th birthday today. Creator of such classics as Little Film I Like to Call Sharktopus. So, shout out to Roger. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey!
Come on, Chip.
I gotta up our hay game.
Get away for the end of it.
I'm not sure that song really is a hay song.
That is all hay.
Hey.
I don't feel like that's a hay song. All
right.
All hay, air hay.
Can we stop haying, please, and move on? It is 9:41. Hey. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Hey!
First of all, mad props to Nova, right? Come on.
Yeah, you got to give it up for them. That was a phenomenal win last night.
Bunch of kids out of Philly just having one shining moment. Brought a tear to my eye. But after the NCAA championship, did anyone besides me catch Animal Kingdom on TNT?
No.
They had a special preview episode of a new TV series called Animal Kingdom. It's going to be on TNT Drama. And I don't think it debuts until June. I think June 7th is when it comes in. But it's Sean Hattasey, who we all love from Southland.
Yeah. Right.
And Ellen Barkin. It's just, it was amazing.
Was it animated?
No. It's Animal Kingdom in sort of a symbolic way. It's gotcha. About a family of just lunatics, thieves, criminals. And the mother is sort of the ringleader, and her sons are the people who do the jobs, who pull the jobs for her
right.
and their family. And it's about this kid who is the grandson of Ellen Barkin, who through a series of circumstances, I won't ruin it for you, I won't spoil it for you, you haven't seen the episode, but ends up staying with this family who he's been estranged from, doesn't really know, and he finds himself surrounded by these thugs and lunatics. And it's a family drama, but it's also a crime drama, and it was really excellent.
Sounds Ray Donovan-esque.
It is sort of Ray Donovan-esque, but a much more sort of brutal. They're much more low lives. Ray's sort of, you know, he deals
upscale
with
an upscale
fixer. These guys are, you know, thugs and basically it's about robberies and stuff like that, you know, bank heists and that kind of thing.
And it comes on when?
June 7th, I believe, is the premiere date, but they showed a premiere episode last night, I'm sure, to cash in on the fact that people had tuned into the TNT TBS networks to watch the basketball. But, again, just I just wanted to give you a heads up. It's coming on this summer, but a really great show.
Finally, there's a good show on TV to watch.
Well, that's the problem. There's a lot of TV shows, and I know we have too much to watch already, but I was really impressed by it, so I just wanted to give it a quick shout-out to folks who may be interested in that sort of thing. I love crime stuff, and I love heists, and I love family dramas, and this has all of that. And as Ellen Barkin is looking pretty hot, by the way.
Hammerhead shark.
Not a hammerhead shark
eyes
at all.
Eyes are too far apart.
You know what?
Got one eye just above each ear.
Beautiful.
What?
Beautiful lady, and still got a body that just could
There's
crush
a full
walnuts.
Foot between her left eye and her right eye.
Not any of those
12
things.
12
inches. None of those things are true, and you're wrong. Surprise, surprise.
Asshole.
Right, kids? Yay! All right, before I get to the show business news, let me give you something to enjoy.
Something to enjoy.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Versus this show that you've been listening to.
Excellent.
This Saturday at the infield at Santa Anita, it's going to be one of our legendary K-Rock microbrew festivals. The K-Rock Craft Brew Fest is happening this Saturday at Santa Anita. You can't ask for a more fun day than being out there at the infield, betting on the ponies, drinking some beers, hanging out with your friends, and as an extra added bonus, you get to hang out with Lightning, right?
Everybody say hey! Scream!
Lightning's the best. He'll make you drink muddy beer out of a puddle in the infield for a keychain, and then he'll try to sell you insurance. It's really he's a joy to be around. And then he'll tell you about his friend when he was in seventh grade. His friend he had now sells cars out of the back of a chop shop or something. I don't know how it works.
Lightning should be in a traveling circus.
He is a traveling circus. Stryker will also be there. Omar, Dave the King of Mexico, Super Steve. Chip, you're going to be there?
Hey!
Yeah, it's...
I believe Chip's
also racing. She's going to be riding one of the horses on Saturday. So you can lay some money down on Chip. She's going to be riding one of the ponies.
She's too small.
Well, she needs... You know what they do? They give her a phone book to sit on the saddle so she can see over the horse's head.
Ralph, I ran into... Mallory, our lovely Miss Double D, at April Fool's on Saturday, and she's very excited about Santa Anita. She's coming this weekend, too.
She will be there as well. So if you'd like to go, let me give you a little incentive. How about a four-pack of VIP tickets to this event? That means you get $106 to bet on the ponies, and you get beer garden and concert admission. You get 8 drink tickets. You get a racing program and a tip sheet, VIP backstage and wagering areas, all that. If your caller, let's say callers, I got 4 pair. Let's just do the first 4 callers at 1-800-520-1067. First 4 callers who get through with that phone number will get the VIP package for the K-Rock Craft Brewfest.
Yum, give me some of that.
Yeah.
That's almost as bad as Daddy Likey.
But not as bad as Smell It. So it all goes full circle.
I was talking about candles.
Oh, I see.
Talking about candles. Smell It. Yeah. Oh,
right.
Dear.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Who says that? Who says it that way about candles? Smell it. What's the odor from the candle? What's the scent?
It does seem like you're very angry.
What's the scent?
What's the scent? What's the scent with those candles? Why is she saying it like that? I don't understand why she's so sexually oriented about candles.
Smell it.
Smell it.
All right. Okay.
Sad news. Eric Bauersfeld is gone. You may not know his name, but you know his work because he, of course, was the voice of the legendary character Admiral Akbar in 2 Star Wars films. He passed away on Sunday of natural causes at his home in Berkeley, California. He was 93.
It's a trap!
He was 93 years old.
It's a trap!
There you go.
Couldn't wait for him to say 93.
That's Eric right there.
It's a trap!
This is a trap. This whole show's a trap.
Ellie's holding her phone up to the microphone. Okay, I think we got it.
Eric originally was a guy who worked in public radio for years and then went to work for Lucasfilm as a sound engineer for the company. And
which stations was he on, Ralph? I'd like a resume with call letters, if you wouldn't mind.
I don't know, radio nerd. You can look that up for yourself. The new Spider-Man movie's got a title, Spider-Man Homecoming.
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 So you're saying it's Spider-Man and then Homecoming.
Yeah, he goes to the big game and then attends the sock hop afterwards.
I'm going to make you smell it.
All right, would you stop with the smell it?
Wait, maybe it wasn't candles.
I don't think it was. Tom Holland will be playing Peter Parker / Spider-Man, of course, who's still in high school in this incarnation of the character. But the exciting news is, according to Deadline.com, 2 of his old pals are going to be stopping by his movie. Oh, nobody, just Captain America and Iron Man.
That's exciting!
Yes, it is. So we're all very excited.
Can't wait!
I can't wait either.
My God!
You know, the thing now in show business is the after show. It's not enough to put on a good TV show now. Now you have to have a show after the show.
Yeah!
To talk about the show.
Eat it here.
After the show.
Right.
And there's a ton of them, of course. We had, I guess, Talking Dead was the first one that was sort of a game changer, right? After The Walking Dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you do have Bachelor Live after The Bachelor.
Right. So we've heard.
Talking Saul is on after Better Call Saul. I mentioned that Orphan Black fans will now be able to enjoy After the Black. And now it's just been announced, After the Thrones. That's right. There'll be a post-Game of Thrones show, which will break down all the episodes of Game of Thrones and tell you what to think about what.
That seems to make sense to me. That's the kind of show that's complicated enough that people might need some clarification after the episode.
A lot of mythology and a lot of players characters on the board, so you want to be able to figure that out. Game of Thrones, by the way, premieres April 24th. And then you can watch After the Thrones.
Do we all agree that the high point of after shows was after Anarchy, though?
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, it was largely because of the host. Hello, I am Kevin. I am your
All right. We need to take a break. We will catch up with Theo later, and we'll have some more guests, some special guests, when we come back.
That guy.
Yeah. I thought it was
great. He was paralyzed.
That was the thing. I think he had a lot of sympathy for the host because, obviously, he was paralyzed from the neck down. Remember he'd blow in that tube and move his chair around the set?
He was paralyzed with fear. I know that.
All right, we have to take a break. We will be right back.
Okay. All right, we have to take a break.
I do good work. That's what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Biebs is creating controversy again. Justin Bieber is upsetting some people, this time with his luscious mane of hair, which he now has done up in dreadlocks.
Yes.
And a lot of people are saying he is appropriating African-American culture, and they think it's wrong for him to do that.
I feel good.
Now, some people would speculate, can a hairstyle be, in fact, the property of one particular race?
I think that's a legitimate question to ask.
However, that being said, let's say for sake of argument, no. No one race can claim ownership to a hairstyle.
Okay.
Who does their hair in dreadlocks?
Goddamn hippies.
If you're a white dude, mm-hmm. who are you? You're a hippie.
Right.
And you smell of patchouli.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you go to fish shows.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or you're a guy who desperately wants to show how cool and hip and black you are. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much.
So, it's just douchebaggery abounds with the dreadlocks.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it until I die. F*** hippies.
So, to say that he's simply trying to appropriate black identity because he has his hair in dreadlocks may not be on point. But if you know anything about Justin Bieber, you know he desperately wants to act like he's a hard guy. Like he's a badass rapper with his tats and his attitude and his swaggy pee and his Pete and his all his swags and swag and his hats
swag.
And swag hats, Hattie swag and all that stuff. So it's fair to say he's trying to
be more black. Yes. He's definitely trying to cultivate an image, that's for sure.
Yeah. And he's a douche.
Right.
Which is what we're trying to say.
So who's mad at him? I mean, is there
a guy named Carl?
I know. Oh,
he's
no.
not happy. And also Alan. Alan is upset.
Mm. Just those two guys?
Just those two guys.
Okay. Yeah. But I just wondered if there was a statement from one of the groups or something like that.
I don't believe there has been a statement, but a lot of chatter on social media, as they say. And Gwyneth Paltrow is the best.
And by the best, you mean?
She's a national treasure because she gives you the facts that you need to live a fulfilled life.
Mm-hmm.
Through, of course, her Goop website. And just every time she opens her mouth, gems pour out. She did an interview with the New York Times, and she said that one of her beauty regimens is getting stung by a swarm of bees. It's called apitherapy. And she says it's very helpful. You let the swarm of bees sting you, and you get rid of inflammation and scarring with these bee stings. It's bee venom therapy, and it is widely known to be enormously helpful for you.
Do you think she's ever done it, or she just heard about it or read about it or something and thought it sounded cool?
Oh, Kevin.
You think she's done this?
Let me read you what she said.
All right.
It's a thousands of years old treatment called apitherapy. People use it to get rid of inflammation and scarring. It's actually pretty incredible if you do the research.
So no.
But man, it's painful.
Oh.
She says you can go through the American Apitherapy Society, and for a mere 15 cents per bee, they will load you up with a swarm and just
you get your
ass stung off. But boy, are you in good shape afterwards.
Don't we have a bee crisis right now with we don't have enough bees to make our food at this point? Should we really be using them for Gwyneth Paltrow's skin?
Yes. What's more important, food or Gwyneth Paltrow?
That's a good point.
Although they do die after they sting you, don't they?
Those are wasps, I think.
Bees don't die after you sting you?
I'm not. You know what?
How do you not know that? You want to be a beekeeper.
You wanted to be. You dressed up as a beekeeper one Halloween.
Look, I love bees. I really do. I don't know as much about them as I wish I did, but I don't think they all die after they sting you.
I think that
is a myth.
That's not a myth.
I think it is true with some bees. I don't think it's true with all
kinds of
bees.
When a bee stings you, the stinger is left behind, right? It gets pulled out of its abdomen, its thorax, its pneumothoracal region of death. And then when it gets pulled out, then they go off and die.
I'm not doubting that. I don't know. It's possible that that happens to all bees.
Honey bees are the only species of bees to die after stinging.
Okay, so it's not all bees. It's just some bees.
Hashtag not all bees.
That's what I thought.
Well, what bees is Gwyneth using?
She must be using normal bees.
She doesn't care if they die. Come on.
Bumblebees?
Aren't bumblebees honeybees?
No,
they're different.
Honey bumbles.
No, bumblebees are the cutest.
Hashtag not all.
Hold
bees.
On, what the heck now? What'd you say?
What bean?
I said bumblebees are the cutest bees, though. They're the ones that have the big, super fuzzy black.
Those are cartoon bumblebees.
No, real bumblebees.
You're thinking of the Honey Nut Cheerio bee.
No, I'm thinking of real
You're
bumblebees.
You're thinking of the little No Rain girl.
From the Blind Melon video?
Who has that category of the cutest bees?
The cutest bees.
Who do you think?
The creeper that talked about powder puff.
What the hell?
Yeah.
You know what honeybees look like, and the bumblebees are a totally different
Chip,
strain
don't
of
leave.
Bees.
Chip, come
yeah.
on. Chip, we're not done the show. We're so close to being finished.
Don't leave.
Chip, come on.
I'm done, Bean.
I just heard her mutter under her breath, I'm out.
Yeah. She is. And rightfully so. Too late.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm all about them bees.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have a recap of The People versus O.J. Simpson. The finale's tonight. I wonder if he's going to get convicted.
I wonder what happens.
That'd be cool.
How can he not get convicted? I saw them with all that evidence over the past 9 episodes. Yeah, he's going down.
Thomas Lennon will join us tomorrow talking The Odd Couple. And
yeah, that's right. I'll talk about all my music I made with Paul and Ringo.
John Lennon.
And, oh, I guess I won't be on the show tomorrow then.
And Charlton Copley.
I'm dead.
We'll be on the program. He is in Hardcore Henry. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.